There was some dog named Hal who thought the Fibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to sit. But he threatened judges three, a jury slapped old Hal CP. So Hal's gonna be my Dick Swigger bitch. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebelling while you can. Long ago, a rat named Glenn ran his comrades over and again. But Zog gave him a bag full of Zog bucks. A little Guido loves digging fox, pitches, tickles, and cocksuck. The colostomy bag's name is VNL. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty juice command, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebelling while you can. I used to know a boss named Visser, a Duke Miss Goober Little Pisser, who was going ass to mouth with Lion Rod. A mum, that niggly molester, a pisser, pooper, possum, chester. Not a single one of them was very bright. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebeller while you can.
Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Manzer-ass clowns across the fruited, nutted Zog plain, in the open air, coast-to-coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. But mainly, to the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear the call, who Jesus did call, and who did hear his voice, and who did listen, and who are working on saving themselves. Greetings. Now, this is episode 92.5 of the Moomaturd, and the original chat was on the 20th of October, 2011. And the title of it is, and it's addressed to Dan Johns and Command Dork McFag and, well, the rest of the delusional Mamsers play in Wikipedia Talks to CI. And it's called, You Need to Get Monogamy Down Pat Before You Try Serial Polygamy. And it's originally appeared, you know, the chat was on the 20th of October, 2011. Anyway. In this episode, myself and Russ Walker will discuss about how the federal judge dismissed my remaining Aryan Nations versus Obongo lawsuit. And he'd done that, and I'd gotten a letter earlier that day. Well, I'd gotten it dated the 17th, but I'd gone ahead and got it earlier that day, and how I needed to file a Rule 59e motion for this new judge to alter or amend his order. Well, anyway, right now, it's, it's the 31st of October, it's 11 days later, and I need to go ahead and get this thing up. But essentially, he went ahead and denied my Rule 59e motion, so it's going to go to the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. But anyway, what I was talking about was Russ Walker on Wednesday night on October 19th, he was muted by the serial polygamist Dan Johns, a Jew carrier of Crohn's, Jew Ascades, you know, to its Kike Spawn Legal Mams of 2012, Johns, that if Dan Johns cannot get monogamy right, then why does Dan Johns think he'll get serial polygamy down correct? And you also had Command Dork McFag, Steve Elder, Steve Schwartz, Steve Schultz, whatever his name is, I think I'm getting closer, thinks it's a genius that polygamy, even though it is a Tubalcainite Pictish Jew Mamser with Crohn's, Jew Ascades, with Mumps Nuts, which is sterile along with a squaw. So, essentially, I went ahead and told Russ how I go ahead and troll these Wikipedia Talks to CI, you know, CI programs, which are, you know, Internet Radio, which is dedicated to essentially allowing wandering Jews and Mamsers to pretend to be Christian identity. And the answer is I learned by going ahead and actually doing the trolling. point comes down to it, Dan Johns and Commandor McFag, even though they're not successful with polygamy, and who wants to be successful with a Jew who's carrying a Jew disease, pretend to be an Israelite, who, in case of Commandor McFag, can't even provide for itself? I mean, how many people want essentially a Jew, which essentially is just nothing more than a parasite? I mean, why would any white woman need a Jew any more than a white woman needs a nigger? Now, there are plenty of these women who essentially they choose what I call meerkats. And the reason they choose meerkats is that they want to be the dominant partner. Okay, well, in many cases they choose a whigger or mamzer or whatever meerkat who will go ahead and obey them. But the problem of it is that once they go ahead and choose such a partner for life, they yoke themselves up, essentially like, told John Britton, Pastor John Britton, tell his daughter, hey honey, you can go ahead and yoke yourself up to Tony the Pony, but if you're going to end up being a Percheron unequally yoked to Tony the Pony, you're going to go ahead and be pulling pretty well 90% of the weight, if not 100% of the weight. It doesn't even matter where Tony the Pony wants to help pull or not. It's just the fact is he's not able. So perhaps McFag, perhaps Dan Johns are looking for essentially a bimbet or something like that just to have sex with them. Well, hey, just simply go ahead and take what little money you got and go down a truck stop and get whatever you can screw and have done with it. You know, the cheapest pussy you'll ever get is, is the pussy that you go ahead and pay for in advance for a poke. Actually going ahead and living with a woman takes a sort of, most men end up having it. Most men are able to go ahead and live with women, but there are some men who are not able to live with women. Morris Gorette, is one of them. I have a friend who's the same way. He was married for all 4 months, and it didn't last much longer than 4 months, and most of that 4 months was not very good. The goona got, old after about a month or so. But folks, when you're 17 years old, why, you think the four wives are not enough, but by the time you go ahead and reach my age of 50, 52, close to 54, you figure out that one woman in as many cases is more than enough for you to handle. And essentially you get to where you learn to go ahead and live with a woman. You seem to understand is that, yes, she has her wants, she has her desires. In many cases, if it's really important to her, it's good to go ahead and accede to her wishes. But on the other hand, she does not rule over you. She does not tell you what to do. And in many cases, you're the one who's supposed to go ahead and think things through because you're the man. But you have all these critters like Dan Johns and McFag, McBragg, Steve Elder, Son of the Mess, whatever he wants to call himself, the hiding little, crouching Jew. And essentially, they view white women as something, just like niggers do. There's something to go ahead and try to exploit or try to use upon their own Jew lusts here to go ahead and breed more screwed up kiklings like Dan Johns did. And the end result was a kikling with crones, with Jew Askates. So, what should be done here? And essentially, in this show, I just go ahead and just laugh at, Jew mansers pretending to be Christian identity. Or white nationalists in the case of Alex Winder. He's a Jew, too, who has Crohn's disease. And, hey, it's not just by their noses and the face show their countenance anymore. It's by the fact that they go ahead and shit blood because they're kike assholes in rebellion against the kike that they infest here. Later on, somebody goes ahead and asks me a question about, should the underground Christian identity believers organize for their own self-defense, i.e. militias? And the answer to that is that you should go ahead and have, with your family members and with your longtime friends, you should have, if you live in the general area, you should have a means of when this great tribulation starts going ahead and the great collapse starts here, you should be able to go ahead and ford up and have at least 6 months' food and plenty of, beans, bolts, and bandages, and be able to defend yourself against the hordes of rampaging niggers or the gangs of rampaging pig lice. You should be able to go ahead, essentially, and protect and save yourself when society starts collapsing. Not being all by yourself, a hated, unmarked man here when this great tribulation happens here. So many of these so-called survivalists, they live in their fantasy world, and they believe that they end up having a whole bunch of guns or something like that, that they can go ahead and hold off, essentially these mobs wanting to go ahead and destroy them. And the answer is that, like I said, no man is an island. You need to go ahead and have other people watch your back. And pretty well, I was talking in the Nut House where essentially three of us white guys together who were locked up in this nut ward essentially went ahead and got to where we would talk to each other, we would play cards, and essentially I went ahead and provided some of the coffee when I had it. And I went ahead and we'd have, a little snack time. I'd provide those snack times out of my own personal commissary stores or canteen stores. And, folks, we would go ahead and watch each other's back against niggers that would sneak up on us. And, folks, that is exactly what we would do. In any case, folks, you have these people and, folks, society is breaking down. And what you need to do is you need to go ahead and, if your own family is worthless, treasonous pieces of shit, you need to understand that. But you also need to go ahead and work on people in your area who you can go ahead and trust. And I'm not talking about acquaintances. I'm not talking about people who are show and blow. I'm not talking about forming an open militia so you can claim to be a militia general or something like that here and how you are going to go ahead and save Zog, Babylon, what have you. What I'm talking about is working quietly to go ahead and save your own life and those of the members of your family that you care about. And that's why you should go ahead and rely upon family and friends to go ahead and guard your back, and just like that, you end up guarding theirs. You are somebody you can be trustworthy. And folks, throughout this, throughout these shows, I've had a three-part program to, first of all, get in right with Yahweh. Number two, go ahead and take care of your own family and your friends. And number three, the 10,000 warlords part, understand who is the regime criminals in your own community. And I'm not talking about in the federal government or the state government. Don't worry about what's going on in the district of Congoids, corruption, or in your local Juice City or Topeka or Austin or Nashville or wherever. Don't worry about something you cannot control. You cannot control the Great Tribulation. You cannot go ahead and control the collapse. You cannot control the inevitable. But what you do is, if you live in a small town and you live on a farm or something like that, you can go ahead and work with the survivors to go ahead and make sure that you stay survivors, and that when this Great Tribulation is washing over, that you have something to go ahead and pick the pieces up. And that's why I call my 10,000 Warlords program. The current movement is just nothing more than, among Christian and Danish, just wall-to-wall Mamzers and Jews pretending to be Christian Israelites, lying, not understanding anything about the true faith and what little they do understand that they hate. And the white nationalist movement is just filled with Zogbots, Mamzers, retards, creatards, all sorts of vermin. Bogus Christian and Danny people, you stay away from them. But why have we gotten into the current situation we're in? The answer is, we've gotten in because of Uyghurs. The very first Zog Babylon, the first, was under Noah. And essentially, these Adamites turned into a bunch of race-mixing, Uyghurs. And so they end up deserving and getting exactly what they deserved. And now we're in Zog Babylon, the third and final, the end result of Nimrod's second Babylon. And now we're on the very last days here, and we're heading toward it. And this show is designed to go ahead and warn you off from all these bowel movement retards, fools, imbeciles, agent provocateurs, mamzers, wiggers, and Jews. But folks, understand who you're with. And you got to understand that the reason we're in this situation isn't even so much because of niggers or beaners, or even when it comes down to it, Jews. What we end up having is a wigger problem. So folks, I'm going to go ahead and let's just go ahead and go on with the rest of the program. Hail victory, folks.
Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build it off up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy drop. I wake up and right away, if the wiggers come to mind, the way they run to and fro, the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, sister wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. Wiggers keep remembering how good God used to be. Being caught long ago, our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, sister wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build it off up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop.
Greetings, ogling, wigger, and man's ass clowns across the food and another Zog plane in the open air, coast-to-coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. And also to the found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear the call. Greetings. You're the one to whom I'm mainly speaking to. Now, folks, this is episode number 92.5 of the Movement Turd. The chat is going on the 20th of October, 2011. And it's a few minutes before 8 o'clock, and I just got the show scheduled because I had a number of things come up. And the main one is that I got a letter from the three letters from the United States District Court from the, less than honorable, Greg Cave, pretty well granting dismissal with prejudice of my lawsuit. So I'm going to go ahead and look at it real quick. And, folks, we're going to have Russ Walker call in a little bit, hopefully. So let's see what goes ahead and gives, So just hold on a few minutes and hail victory.
When you find yourself in danger, when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you.
Call out for Super Ficken.
And if you're afraid, you'll have to overlook it.
Besides, you knew the job was fucked up when you took it.
He will drink his Super Ficken, those are bad guys for a loss, and he will bring them to the line and kick it. There is one thing you should learn when there is no one else who can.
Call out for Super Ficken. Call out for Super Ficken. Okay, hello, guest number three. I'm looking at this thing here. Okay, well, I really didn't go ahead and give very much notice. I went ahead and sent an email. I'm not sure if you're one of the ones to send an email to. I'm waiting for Russ to go ahead and call in. So, let's see.
Well, I went ahead and read this this response here. Essentially, this judge goes ahead and, essentially makes, a threat here. I went ahead and just simply said is that, hey, what you had is that you had a Jew judge. They play the game that they cannot understand what is being written. They play the game that they cannot understand what the grievance is about. And pretty well, the number three one was sort of far-fetched about how I'm suing this nigger president because he's not really it's a hell of a deal when a nigger... A nigger can go ahead and be president of the United States, and a white man cannot go ahead and run at all. You know what I mean? So don't look like I have too many people in right now. I'm going to go ahead. And I'm going to go ahead and record because they're having the breaking news about the death of poor Muammar Gaddafi. Well, folks, Muammar Gaddafi is no more an evil dictator than George Bush and any local pig here who goes ahead and destroys families. He does whatever the hell he wants to. He was just simply a more honest dictator is what he was. A far more honest and far more noble, even though he was a shitskin, than, these Jews and Mamzers and Wiggers who essentially have power over white men under Zog Babylon, the third and the final today. You see, you have a third world country and these shitskins are not able to go ahead and make much of anything about it in any case. And so, since they're not able to go ahead and have a real democratic or Republican form of government. I believe a Republican form of government is far more degenerate than even a democracy is. Because in a democracy, at least you have people who have to take some sort of responsibility for voting, whereas in a republic, you end up electing a bunch of clowns who... Well, nowadays they're just elected by some Jew or corporation, and then they pretend to go ahead and represent you. And what this judge is, what this judge has done here is he's just pretty well said is that, hey, if you're a white man, he says he cannot be bothered with going ahead and looking through my exhibits or my explanations. Can't even be bothered with doing this sort of thing. Well, okay. That's fine. Why in the world should we be bothered with obeying your regime? Why should we be bothered with paying taxes? Why should we be bothered with acknowledging that you have any legitimacy at all? Unless you end up having a gun or an open, when this rule of yours is openly imposed, then it means something. Oh, by the way, guest number 4 and 5, I'm sort of bitching because this Greg Case has finally gone ahead and given a, he's gone ahead and given a judgment, and he's gone ahead and dismissed my Obongo lawsuit. Comes up with a whole bunch of horse shit about how he can't possibly understand all my writings. And yet, on the other hand, since he cannot be bothered with understanding my writings, well, I haven't gone ahead and made my case here. Well, the case is supposed to proceed to trial. It's a rather simple thing. There's a law which says that people have to go ahead and show up to an election official when, you know, in order to go ahead and file for office unless they meet certain conditions. Well, I was unjustly imprisoned on trumped up charges and not allowed to go ahead and run for office. And so I asked for this law to be set aside as being unconstitutional because what it does is it allows people who are awaiting trumped up charges to be set to where they cannot run for political office. And how is that any different than what you're bitching about in Iran and Russia and China and all these other places? Zimbabwe? How is it any different in Missouri if you do that to me than you did to some nigger in Zimbabwe? The ruling nigger did in Zimbabwe, or the ruling chink did in China, or the ruling, raghead or whatever did in Persia or Iraq or wherever. How's that any different? Folks, I'm simply asking for you to go ahead and rule that if someone is awaiting trial, they have not been convicted yet, that they can run in absentia, or they can go ahead and be brought before this election official to go ahead and run. Item number 2 is that the Missouri Republican, the Missouri Democrat, and Missouri Libertarian Party refuse to allow me to run for United States Senator or Governor or anything because I'm an open racist white man. Okay? To which I say is that, well, shoot, if you're allowing niggers to go ahead and run for office, you've just gone ahead and said that the white man is, you know, an open white man, an honest white man, is lower than a nigger, lower than a greaser who gone ahead and has crossed into this country, lower than a nigger who is not even a resident or a citizen of this United States here. In short, the actual white people on whom this corrupt regime was set up over 200 years ago under a so-called constipation and bill of goods has far less rights and nothing but burdens. So in short, we're nothing but slaves. And essentially what I ask for is for this law to be undone to where there has to be an open primary where anybody who meets the constitutional requirements is allowed to run. Now, folks, I went ahead and presented the evidence that, hey, here's the Missouri Republican Party refuses to allow me to run for United States Senator. Here is the Missouri Libertarian Party demanding the Democratic Secretary of State take me off the ballot because I'm a racist white man. Okay, fine. So, folks, it's not just me. I would say any white man who wants to go ahead and vote for a racist white man like myself is no longer represented. Are they going to be represented by a chicken shit corporate Mormon? Another chicken shit corporate Mormon like Kunstman? A nigger like Herman Cain? A bunch of libertoons who essentially believe you can do whatever the hell you want to as long as you don't think white thoughts? A piece of shit like Perry or Santorum or a bitch like, you know, Michelle Bachmann? I'm simply saying is that, shoot, since a white man is no longer, you know, allowed to run for office and other whites are not allowed to vote for that white man, then they have no responsibility to obey
the result of it. That government, they have no responsibility to go ahead and pay taxes to it. None whatsoever. And so, within 10 days, I'm going to go ahead and file a Rule 59e motion, pretty well telling this judge, is that, look, judge, you let the Jew judge go ahead and dismiss all these, you know, all these cases against these other defendants. And folks, neither me nor my church had the money to go ahead and chase down these defendants and make them go ahead and pay it up. And so the, you know, and what happens is you violated the actual rules, the law, the rules, the civil procedures hold, is that who gets served for the state is the chief executive officer. Well, the chief executive officer was the governor. How in the world, if Roxy goes ahead and puts it on the desk of the, you know, on the reception area, you know, in the governor's office, on his receptionist's desk, that you're not going ahead and serving the governor in his place of business? Are you going to go ahead and say that, you know, essentially I was supposed to go ahead and sit there and wait and wait and wait and wait till the governor got done hiding in the flesh toilet to directly serve him with his little bunch of agents here? Or that the nigger doesn't have to go, you know, the nigger and the attorney general and the Justice Department, they're above the law to where, hey, since you cannot go ahead and get access to them, they don't allow anybody who wants to go ahead and sue the President of the United States, or in this case, the nigger. They don't allow anybody, you know, who claims to be a process server to go ahead and serve. Folks, I went ahead and sent every single time. I sent letter after letter after letter after letter. So here you're playing the game, is that they haven't been served. Poor, you know, poor baby. Folks, they even made a few blogs, but here's the, you know, here's the Jew judge going ahead and dismissing it. No, folks, what we have is that we have a regime which no longer even bothers to obey the so-called forms. No longer even bothers to, you know, pay attention, bothers to listen here. And in it, what we have is we have a bunch of, you know, mamsers, we have a bunch of delusionals, we have a bunch of these critters, you know, like, well, last night I was trolling Dan Johns. And here comes Steve Elder, McFag, whatever you want to call him here, whatever his real name is. McFag was showing up, and McFag was essentially, well, going ahead and, you know, pretty well saying to little legal mamzer, you know, or to Dan Johns, oh, tell your boy not to go ahead and use this drug as a cure for Crohn's. Yeah, McFag knows what not to use for Crohn's. Reason McFag knows what not to use for Crohn's is McFag has Crohn's. McFag is a Jew. McFag is one of them Jews who's such a nasty Jew that his own kike asshole has gone ahead and rebelled against the kike that runs it around here. It's immune deficiency. You gotta laugh here, it's when a Jew's own asshole is rebelling against him. Ain't that sort of ridiculous? Anyway, folks, I'm sort of waiting for Russ to go ahead and call in. But no, this is just my little rant about, you know, this particular judge. And what I probably need to do is, since they're going against, you know, since they're going ahead and trying to start a war with Iran, maybe I need to go ahead and send a letter, a copy of this, to the Iranian embassy, going ahead and as a church, as an independent, oh, center of power, need to go ahead. Okay.
When you find yourself in danger, when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you.
Call out for Super Ficken.
But if you're afraid, you'll have to overlook it.
Besides, you knew the job was fucked up when you took it.
He will take a super fucker, throw the bad guys for a loss, and he will bring them in alive and kick it. There was one.
Call out for Super Chicken. Call out for Super Chicken. Hello, Russ, that you?
Hey, listen to you right now.
Oh, okay. Which guest are you, anyway?
Four, so whatever the hell we're talking
about. Oh, okay, four. It don't really matter. There's a couple of them there. I was ranting and raving about the judge, about this judge, Greg Case. Now, from what I gather, at least he's better than the Jew judge, Harold Sachs. And essentially, I didn't really mind the Jew judge because I knew the Jew judge would screw me over, but then I'd go ahead and say, well, what do you expect from a Jew judge? But this nigger named Fernando Gaitan, who is a senior judge, says, well, hey, it don't look good to have a Jew judge ruling in the case of the Aryan Nations, which holds that Jews are a spawn of Satan. So, essentially, went ahead and turned to this Gentile judge, and for my gather, this is a new judge. And being a newbie, he doesn't want to go ahead and be overturned so much by the ACUS circus. You know, now some of them, like Ordie B. Smith, you know, see, I've known most of the judges on the Western District Bench, you know, the Western District Bench of Missouri. You know what I mean? And some of them, I went ahead and seen them when they were on the state bench, like Gary Fenner. That was a piece of shit. That was a piece of shit. He went ahead and dismissed this case that I brought on behalf of this silly wigger, you know, who I call the half-grown possum, about being arrested, you know, doing a voter registration drive over in Springfield in 2000 here. But in any case, I end up going ahead and getting, well, three letters. They go ahead and pretend I'm three different things. The Aryan Nations of Missouri, Pastor Martin Luther Dzerzhinsky Lindstedt, and the Newton County Libertarian whatever party. And in any case, What this judge has done, I went ahead and read the thing. He goes ahead just like the rest of these tards, they pretend they cannot understand what I'm writing. You know what I mean? And I'll admit, there's a lot of people who can't understand what I'm writing, and a lot of times I'd go ahead and make it somewhat obtuse. But, you know, if you were hearing me rant and rave, you understood the main two things I was ranting and raving. I sought to have declared unconstitutional this law, which requires that candidates have to show up in front of an election official, and I want that declared unconstitutional because I don't want people doing like they did to me, going ahead and arresting me so I cannot run for public office because I cannot show up while I'm in jail in front of an election official. You understand? I mean, essentially, This is old means of tyranny here. You have the United States whine that, I remember when I was in that house, you had this Morgan Tsvangirai who wanted to run against Robert Mugabe. And essentially, they were bitching because Mugabe, this big old mean, evil old nigger, was going ahead and killing and jailing his political opponents so they couldn't run for office against him and his party. And they were bitching like hell about that in 2007. And essentially, they bitch about the Iranians do it. They bitch about how the Russians don't have free, open, honest elections. They bitch how the Chinese don't do it. But essentially, they don't do the same, you know, they pull the same crap in Missouri, don't they? Still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You understand what I'm saying? Essentially, all I'm simply asking is that if you're going to have a so-called free state here, if someone is in jail and they have not been convicted of any crime, therefore this law should be undone to either allow them to run in absentia from their jail cell or for them to go ahead and be brought before an election official so they can go ahead and file. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, look, we all know this is the most corrupt nation in the face of the earth.
Well, it's the most corrupt in that it's not even honest enough to admit that it's, you know, hopelessly corrupt.
It is hopelessly corrupt. And you're not the only person who's been hammered by this corrupt system.
Well, that's true.
But, I mean, I've read your stuff, and to be honest about it, I've had a hard time trying to understand it in the most sympathetic manner, but we all have different styles, that's all I can say.
Okay, but you do understand what I'm saying verbally, don't you?
Nation, when you get right down to it.
Yeah, what it comes down to is that I want this law overturned to where essentially
by saying that you have to show up in front of an election official, I want to overturn to where it allows people who have not been convicted of any charge. They may be accused of any charge, but essentially if they're in jail, they have not been convicted, and they meet the constitutional requirements for that particular office, that they either be brought in front of, and you know, in front of a election official, or if they be allowed to run in absentia. Therefore, I'm asking for this law to be declared unconstitutional, and for it to simply be redrafted or remade in a constitutional manner to allow political dissidents who have been imprisoned, you know, with, you know, not convicted, to run for public office. Is that hard to understand?
Martin, not even try. I'm not trying to be hard, Tom. I'm just so sick of the whole corrupt system.
Okay. Well, you understand. I didn't ask you where you're sick about. I understand. Do you understand what I'm asking for?
You're asking for justice, and it's simple. Ultimately, you're asking for simple justice.
Okay.
I don't think you're ever going to get it.
No, I'm not going to get it. Number two. Way back in 1944, the United States Supreme Court ruled that niggers got to vote in a primary election in Texas. It's called, you know, Smith versus Allwright. Lonnie Smith, a nigger, you know, a sharecropper nigger, wanted to vote in the Texas Democratic Party, even though the Texas Democrat Party said, well, hey, we don't allow non-whites to vote, especially niggers. And it went up to the Supreme Court, and they ruled that, no, you got to allow niggers to vote. And then after they got the vote, they got to run in their own primary elections. In 10 years, niggers got to go ahead and assess public white public schools, pretty well putting the end to, you know, to the public school system as we know it. And, you know, way back, thanks to Trader Glenn Miller in part, in 2006, now if you are an open white man, the major political parties, the ones that are on the ballot, the, you know, Missouri Republican Party, the Missouri Democrat Party, the Missouri Libertarian Party, any political party no longer has to hold an open primary. If if you're a nigger, you get to go ahead and run, but if you're an open racist white man like me, you do not get to run because you're an open racist white man. And that means if you are a racist white voter, you don't get to vote for your choice of representation, a racist, an open racist white man like me. I am asking that this law be declared unconstitutional and that any political party on the ballot in Missouri must be forced to run an open primary election. And, I'm saying that if you don't allow that, then, hey, not only do I have no obligation to obey any, you know, federal or state laws, because both for running for governor and running for United States Senator, I don't have any obligation to go ahead and vote, you know, obey any, you know, United States or Missouri state laws, nor do I have any obligation to pay any taxes. And neither does anybody who wanted to go ahead and vote for me. So therefore, any white man has no obligation to go ahead and obey federal or state laws here, because we no longer have representation. Do you understand what I'm saying by that?
We're not arguing. We know that. Millions of people know this.
Well, no, they don't know that. They sort of think they get to live off the white man. That's what Obongo is about. That's what Obongo cares about. You know, free medical care for niggers and illegal beaners, and have the white man pay for it. And then they sort of think that this shit's going to last forever, don't they?
Niggers. I was talking to our local phone guy today, and he says he goes to the house, a lot of niggers have pictures of Obama on the walls, and he's their savior, he's their god, he's their only hope. But a lot of them say that they need a new nigger for president, but anyway.
Well, they're annoyed because this particular nigger is, well, he's not doing a very good job. What he's done, you know, he's still blaming Bushy for it, and Bushy was a total piece of shit, I'll grant you. But on the other hand, we end up having, what, $1.7 trillion deficit. So in short, what we're doing is we're spending about close to $3 trillion, of which we're only going ahead and raising through taxes, 42 cents of every dollar is being spent.
Right.
And then as a result, people are asking how long that is going to continue, and then they're whining that, the Standard & Poor's went ahead and downgraded
you know, and we already talked about that stupid crap here. But anyway, so in short, how is this going to go ahead and last without going ahead and printing more money or doing whatever? And now you end up hearing these people whining about malaise and how there's no jobs. And, just a couple of days ago, they signed another trade agreement. Every time they sign a trade agreement, that's just some more jobs which are moving overseas, correct?
Well, pretty soon they're going to stop moving overseas, there won't be any more jobs. But you're absolutely correct, sure.
Yeah, well, there won't be any more jobs, and essentially there won't be anything, you know, to pay for this foreign-made stuff, will there? See, China's already bitching here and talking about, you know, big crap about how they're going to, how they are not going to go ahead and send any more of this China-made stuff over here because we're not able to go ahead and pay for it, anything other than paper. And from what I gather, China's having a number of problems as well because none of this stuff is sustainable on either end.
Oh, it's going to break down.
Yeah, it's breaking down here. So anyway, that's what I ended up getting today. I needed to go ahead and send last week's show here. But you were, let's go ahead and take a quick break on this here. Okay, got 29 minutes.
Oh, I'm a good old rebel, now that's just what I am. For this fair land of freedom, I do not care a damn. I'm glad I fit against it, I only wish we won. And I don't want no pardon for anything I've done. I hate the Constitution, this great republic too. I hate the Freedmen's Bureau in uniform blue. I hate the Nazi evil with all his brags and fuss. The lying thieving Yankees, I hate them worse. I hate the Yankee Nation and everything they do. I hate the Declaration of Independence too. I hate the glorious Union is dripping with our blood. I hate their striped banner, I fit it all I could.
Folks, we're back. I'm changing subjects from my lawsuit back to Jew ass cancer. You were over on Dan John's show last night, weren't you?
They muted me.
Well, they muted you. What did you say that got Dan John's all annoyed?
Well, I said a couple of things, and he, you know, Danny Jones is always talking about polygamy.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, before you talk about polygamy, why don't you get monogamy down?
Well, okay, let's understand something. I mean, you came in about, 20 minutes into the show.
And, yeah.
At the very beginning, I went ahead and saved the chat. I have three computers, and Toshiba number two isn't working too good, but essentially I had compact number one saving the chat, and, you know, Toshiba number one saving it, and then I was trolling with Toshiba number two. At the very beginning, it took me a little while to go ahead and get all three computers limbered up. Now, usually when I go ahead and log on with a computer, it's usually compact number one, and essentially its purpose is just to stay there and record the entire chat, because it's the newest computer with the least amount of junk on it. Therefore, as long as there's a connection, it won't go ahead and, you know, die out here. Then I use, you know, Toshiba number two for the most trolling, and also Toshiba number one for a little bit other trolling. And pretty well, when McFag first came on, he was talking to Dan Johns, because Legal Man's in 2012, and he was telling Dan Johns to tell his son not to go ahead and use this particular drug for his little problem. And what his little problem is Crohn's disease. Okay, and we have talked for the last, what, let me see, one, for the past, oh, it's going on 3 weeks now, 3 weeks when I found out that Legal Mansor 2012 Johns had Crohn's disease, and that Command Dork McFag, a.k.a. Steve Elder, whatever you want to call him, has Crohn's disease as well. And pretty well, you do understand that Crohn's disease is an Ashkenazi Jew disease.
Right.
It's an immune disease here. So if you end up having, even if you may look white, it's a sign that you have a Jew in your genetic woodpile.
That's right.
Okay. Well, see, it went on, and I was going ahead and trolling, and then he went ahead and started muting the guests, so I went ahead and got on as Rabbi Eliar. But essentially, I found out how these NIMBusters do it. What they do is they log on, and then before a guest can go ahead and be blocked, you go ahead, you paste it on there, press enter, then log off. And even if he's blocking all the new guests here, you still go ahead and get a chance to say it real quick here. So Dan Johns,
see, I mean, I notice you jump in and jump out all the time, and I don't know the reason for it.
Well, it's called flash trolling, because if you stay on as a guest here after you've said a number of, you know, said a number of pithy things, pretty well, just like Eli James and the rest of them, they go ahead and they move down and they click the mouse to where they block you. You know what I mean? It's called flash trolling. You get on, say your piece, and then you, you know, get off here. And so, huh?
How'd you learn that?
Well, I learned it by doing it here, just like everything here. Just like I learned how to file lawsuits, I learned it by doing it.
Oh, quickie on the lawsuit, Mark. I'm not here to argue with you.
Exactly.
Federal Appellate Procedure 4. Right now, you've got 30 days to file an appeal if you so choose.
No. I have 30 days to file an appeal. You're talking about, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to file a Rule 59E motion to alter, amend, or abolish the judgment. Now, the reason for the Rule 59E, you know, I mean, Russ, I've already filed, well, I've actually filed four Rule 59E motions here. The first and second time it took the Jew judge by surprise, and he went ahead and backed off. So what happens, the reason this lawsuit's lasted nearly 3 years is because of these Rule 59E motions. Now, the reason you file the Rule 59E motion is that if you go ahead and wait more than 10 days, you know, within 6 months, you can file Rule 60, but you can't go ahead and get an automatic appeal to the United States 8th Circuit Court of Appeals with a 60. You can get an automatic appeal with a 59E. Okay? So that's why, you know, to file the Rule 59E.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Okay, see, I've had, depending on how you count them, I count this as being my 8th federal lawsuit. Okay? Now, they claim 9 or 10, but I think it's my 8th, maybe my 9th federal lawsuit, okay? I filed a lot of them here, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Okay. So, essentially, I know how to go ahead and file these things. Now, what the Jew judge did is he went ahead and made a motion here, and then he neglected to send me a copy of it, so I couldn't file a 59E. You know what I mean? But now this judge has gone ahead and dismissed it in the total, so as a result, I can go ahead and bring everything right back up in total. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Okay.
Please, time. You do it your way, I'm trying to tell you.
Okay, well, all right. But, all right, let's get back to McBragg and the rest here. Now, the thing about it is McBragg and Dan Johns, and let me tell you what I found out about Dan Johns. I found out about Jeremy Visser. He, he's a manser himself. He could not wait. He could not wait. One minute here. Let me tell you about Dan Johns. What do you mean? Well, see, Dan Johns, his first wife was Sister Cherie. And I remember Sister Cherie. She used to do the little offshoot Daughters of Israel or something like that here. What about her? And he said that Dan Johns whined and begged and pleaded and pissed and moaned for a second wife. And finally, Sister Cherie said, yes, okay, all right, whatever. But what Dan Johns did is that, being a red nigger Jew, he really didn't have enough money to go ahead and support two wives. So what he did is he neglected old Sister Cherie in more ways than one, and Sister Cherie ended up getting a divorce. And I think wife number two had enough of his, had enough of his shit here on short rations, so she went ahead and got rid of him too here. So essentially he's a Jew, wannabe Jew polygamist, but, somebody went ahead and called him a serial polygamist, and that's what I call him as well. But he's really never been a polygamist because, actually, from what I gather, he's never had two wives humping him at the same, on the same bed here, you know what I mean? He's never really had a threesome here, from what I gather. He's just an unsuccessful Jew wannabe, trying to go ahead and have more than one wife at a time here. But in any case, from what I gather, that's what he comes up with. Well, old McBragg is totally delusional too. He does not have a job. He hasn't had a job for over 2 years. That's what he ended up telling this one guy when I went ahead and noticed it about 3 months ago. I haven't had a job, I used to have a job in construction. For my guy, he was just a gopher. He really wasn't anything that was here. And, about a month or so, he admitted that him and his red nigger squaw were sterile. I mean, one of them or the other is sterile. Don't have any kids here. And then he talks about his daughters. Well, I said, I went ahead and said, I thought you said you didn't have any kids here. Different one. So what happens is that, McFag is totally delusional. But here they were, two Jews talking about having more than one wife and looking forward to this great tribulation where seven women will go ahead and come to one man and say, hey, will you please have sex with me and give me your name and I'll provide my own rations. And essentially you go ahead and you look at, and that's about all they get out of the Bible, it seems to me. So, you gotta laugh. You gotta go ahead and laugh. Did anything happen in the movement I missed in the last couple hours? Yeah, there's a few things here. Anyway, so here you were. You came in about 20 minutes into it and sort of said something about how you ought to go ahead and be able to be a successful monogamist here before you worry about polygamy?
Always talking about polygamy. Always, but frequently. And I just said, why don't you get monogamy down before you try polygamy or something like that? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I see that here. He didn't much care for that now, did he?
That must have burned his ass, you know what I mean? And let me tell you something. Not all Israelites are going to even have their wives and everything else. This is all, whatever Yahweh decides to do, but I mean, he's always talking about polygamy. Get monogamy straightened out before you try polygamy.
Well, Dan Johns, you have tried polygamy. From what I gather, it didn't work out too successfully for you. I mean, from what I gather, old Sister Cherie Sister Cherie went with the Dan Johns faction in Ukoi on March 14, 2009. She was showing up and calling in. She said that Christian Identity was nothing but a cult, and a lot of people heard that and said, "Yeah, thank you, Dan Johns. I mean, you've just done a wonderful job of not even being able to keep your first wife in check here. You know, I haven't heard too much from the second wife, but from what I get, the second wife, and she really couldn't be his paper wife. You understand what I mean? I mean, he red nigger or not in Georgia, he's not allowed to go ahead and have more than one wife. You know what I mean? You know, according to the state of Georgia. Well, according to the state of Utah, if he lived in Utah. but he's not a very successful. And, you know, here are these people. You know, I mean, it's pretty well determined that essentially they're suffering from Crohn's, therefore they're Jews, and what they're talking about is having more than one wife and how Jews are evil, and it's just like you've been locked, you've been dropped into the middle of a loony bin, and you're talking about how you better get monogamy down pat before you even try on the polygamy. I mean, that was a rather apt statement. They didn't much care for you, so you got blocked, did you?
Well, they should have. This Crohn's disease, apparently, from what I gather in the research here, it's not absolute Jews only, but it tends to be Jewish.
Well, it's, you know, as they say, 2 to 8 times is what they say. Okay? But, you know, I mean, what it seems to be is that if you end up having it, even if you don't know you're Jewish, what happens is that means that you end up having some Jewish marker genes. It's sort of like a disease, sort of like Tay-Sachs or something like that. Let's say you're tooling along and you come down with Tay-Sachs. What does that mean?
I agree with you. Or sickle cell anemia.
I don't know if old Whoopi Goldberg is going to come down with Tay-Sachs and sickle cell, you know, at the same time. I've never worried about it too much, you know what I mean? So, would Whoopi Goldberg come down with sickle cell and Tay-Sachs at the same time? You know who Whoopi Goldberg is, don't you?
Yeah, she's sick, though.
She's a loudmouth nigger Jew.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
What she is.
Yeah, but in any case, you know, I guess she could come down with Tay-Sachs and sickle cell at the same time. You know, I'd sort of be laughing if old Dan Johns and McFadden came down with sickle cell too. But here they are. I mean, they sound just like a bunch of Jews or niggers lusting after white women, wanting more than one. And you know, here he is. He's not employed. His wife, you know, squaw wife, works for the state of Washington. He's already sort of threatened he's going to go postal if somebody outs him here and his wife loses his job and he don't have any money. I mean, and he don't have any children. I mean, shoot. I mean, he's sort of like a Mediterranean Jew fly, ain't he? You've heard of how they irradiate, you know, male Mediterranean fruit flies in order to go ahead and make them sterile so they won't go ahead and breed any more Mediterranean fruit flies?
Martin, I don't care. He's a screwy character, so I can tell you.
Oh, a totally screwy character. He's pretty well given up fighting with me over on Covington's Facebook page. But no, I was having fun. I was having fun going ahead and talking about giraffe cats. You did see me go ahead and trolling, you know, about giraffe cats for quite a bit, didn't you?
Yeah, I saw that stuff. I mean, Dan Johns doesn't like, I mean, first of all, Brad came in and said I should die and stuff like that, and I thought, I said, what a charming Christian thing to say. That kind of shut him up a little bit. But he's got all the strange ideas. They just don't want anyone criticizing their way of their lifestyle.
Yeah, he's delusional. He's delusional. He's a delusional, but he understands enough to understand to where here he is trying to tell Dan Johns what to tell his son on how to cure his Crohn's. You know what I mean? But yet, on the other hand, I don't have Crohn's. I just have heartburn. Really? Really? Okay? So,
I don't care what the hell he says. Screw him.
Anyway, I'm sort of looking at the chat a little bit. So, in any case, it looks like somebody else has gone ahead and came on to it. Anyway, let's see. For another thing here, there's been somebody showing up on Jeremy Visser's forum talking about Eli James. And essentially what this guy said here is, let's see. Pastor Eli James and AngloSaxonIsrael.com. Let me go ahead and put the link on that so people can go ahead and look at it. Okay. But anyway, I wanted to talk about what was going on the lawsuit here. I just got it. Well, essentially, I got it around 7:15. Roxy came and picked up the mail, so I didn't have a chance here, but what happens is Eli James, well, he has a lot of Mamzer in him, but he got a lot of Jew. But anyway, this Idaho guy said, and he went ahead and gave his real name. I looked at his webpage, and he's fairly good. He comes out of Herbert Armstrong's Worldwide Church of God. He says his email address is rdidaho@gmail.com. My websites are analysis-news.com and www.age-n.com. And they're Christian Identity web pages, although they're a little bit more Herbert Armstrong than Bertrand Comparé, but he said, in the usual sense, I'm not much on airing conflicts between different parties, as may be the case here in Emma Heiser's comments on James. But because James has turned out to be a major leader in DSCI motion, he calls himself Pastor James, DSCI people and readers in this forum, I'm compelled to address this thread because when leaders err are bad, the influence will lead their followers down the primrose lane of disaster destruction. And he went on about Bill Clinton, about how they ought to go ahead and set it up here. He said, take the case of William Potter Gale. I will not deny that Gale was a passionate enemy of the Jews publicly. He seemingly had no love for the Jews of any kind, Sephardim, Ashkenazim, religious or what, but what few realized that Gale himself was an Ashkenazi Khazar racial Jew, a stealth Jew. And he says that Gale went ahead and got away from Christian Identity, and he was more concerned with politics and militancy. So what he did is that he hurt the Christian Identity movement in Southern California because instead of focusing on the scriptures and morality, the movement started to become a political motion to change U.S. politics and become more militant in organizing paramilitary forces to start a revolution. And so I guess he thinks that old Gale was a Jew. And I've heard both sides of the matter, and I don't really know. But, why did he do it? Well, he said that Gale wanted to go ahead and politicize Christian Identity. So, he says, in the way of introductory remarks on the situation with James, let me say the following is not about Lindstedt, St. Visser, Emma Heiser, Gillette, Harold Swift, Bustler, Wickstrom, me, or you. And certainly it's not about James' personal beliefs or even what he has told or is telling his own congregation or followers or even what he has on his own website. He says he doesn't know any of these people and cares less what he believes here. But he goes on, that there seems to be overt questions or material which has now surfaced on this thread, primarily from Clifton Emheiser and possibly Wickstrom, but which is some way being blamed on Lindstedt in the context of James as a so-called pastor and leader in the DSCI movement and as a secret stealth racial Jew teaching bad doctrines in the movement. It was just a conflict. He said he'd go ahead and blow it off here, but he says it needs to be addressed here. And the frequent references in this forum, in the CI forum, to Lindstedt and James have made me address the Lindstedt forum and see what he actually said. While I'm not a supporter or opponent of Lindstedt, his beliefs, as I am in a very different world, believe me, his arguments are laid out in a reasonable and coherent fashion on James. He may be a raging maniac and nutcase, as many charge him to be, but his case against James is not the work of a madman. As I can pierce together his opposition to James, Lindsay says that James is a Jew who has had several name changes. He says he was formerly Joseph November, and before that a Jew named Cutts. The November allegation came from a talk show or forum from another party, which Lindsay cites, some possibly think or not someone else. Emma Heiser repeats the November thing and does not clarify its source. Lindsay then adds the Cutts thing. He says, I'm not sure where this comes from, but evidently Lindsay has a source for it and may have cited and missed by me. Okay, the answer is that somebody, both on the Movement Turd chat and in another way, I'm not going to go ahead and get to it, went ahead and says that Joseph, before he was Joseph November, his name before that was Joseph Cutts. And I'm not going to go ahead and say who told me, but essentially, somebody else says putts, but I believe it was actually cuts. When Jews call somebody a putz, they mean that they're calling him a dick. You know what I mean?
How do you spell K-A-T-Z or K-U-T-Z?
K-U-T-Z. Lindstedt then some way concludes that James is a party Jew. And he says, this R.D. Bradshaw takes it. I take it that James is supposedly a racial Jew and not one by religion, since James claims to be a Christian of CIA faith. Well, his name was his cut. That name to me appears to be very bizarre Jew name and not Sephardic at all. That would be the only difference I would have with Lindstedt among his other, assuming his otherwise facts are correct. Okay, folks, Eli James, I have gone ahead and looked at the fight between him and Fink. I believe that he's actually a Sephardic Jew, but he might be an Ashkenazi Jew. But it seems to me that the main fight between Eli James and Bill Fink is the fight that you have always had between the Sephardic Jews and the Ashkenazi Jews. As a second thing is that Eli James, we've already talked about how he suffers from this disease, which goes ahead and shuts off the melanin cells that's common among niggers and some dark-skinned people, which goes ahead, some call it vertigo or something like that. And the English name for it is piebaldism. He has splotches of white skin, which essentially is more common among the Sephardics. But I'd always thought that he was a Sephardic before. And part of the reason is that Eli James is a lot more nicer. He's a lot more nicer individual. Now, I don't think a Jew is a person, but he's a lot more nicer specimen than Bill Fink. Fink is just an amoral, psychotic Jew boy. Okay? That's what he is. And, folks, I mean, I think it's a fight between a Sephardic Jew and a Ashkenazi Jew. Okay? Now, if someone proved to me that Eli James was a Ashkenazi Jew, I guess I'd be wrong. And I guess I'd have to admit it. But, folks, I think he's a Sephardic Jew, by the preponderance of evidence. You know what I mean? But, in any case, going on, huh?
One, what do we care?
Well, difference doesn't make what kind of Jew Eli James is. Well, no, but it does matter. Maybe he's a Jew.
One says this guy is pink polka dots, the other says this guy is green polka dots. What do we care?
Okay, well, what matters to me is if someone is a Jew, he's not allowed, as far as I'm concerned, to claim to be Christian identity.
Well, I agree with you in that
point.
Okay.
All right. I believe Eli James is a Jew. I believe he's a Sephardic Jew. But, that's the difference between me and this R.D. Bradshaw. He said, but going on, Lindstedt shows pictures of James. He definitely looks like a short, bizarre Jew racially. But Lindstedt's big argument against him is that he brought a Puerto Rican man's mongrel, and one which Lindstedt alleges to be a faggot queer, into the congregation of Israel and tried to palm the man's queer off as a fellow Israelite. Well, Lindstedt followed up with pictures of the Puerto Rican in a meeting conducted by James where the Puerto Rican was shown addressing James's congregation. Okay.
Thank you.
That isn't exactly it here. This picture of him was at a Bible study held by Jarrell Moseley in 2010 or so. It wasn't held by Eli James, but Eli James went ahead and tried to cover up for Brian Rio, didn't he? James and Fink did the same thing here. I'm just disagreeing with this Mr. Bradford. The picture did offer some very possible proof supporting Lindsay's charge that the Puerto Rican was a mamzer in the clear. Now, I don't care, you know, going on with what he says, now, I don't care about the Puerto Rican whether it's a fag or a mamzer one way or the other, but I have no doubt that all or almost all Puerto Ricans are indeed very racially mixed mongrels of the most gross kind that have no business being present in a congregation of Israel and or being sold to DFCI as fellow Israelites. I cannot fathom how the DFCI collective people of even James' own congregation could support James in this act of deception and evil. Such an act to me suggests the work of a racial Khazar Jew. Trees are known by their fruit, and this fruit isn't good. Well, Bill Fink has supported Brian Rio even more than Eli James has, hasn't he?
That's true.
Now, the little Mamzer sort of disappeared off the radar over the better, you know, what, the past 7 weeks or so. But, you know, I mean, Emma Heiser, do you believe that Emma Heiser knows that Brian Rio is a Mamzer?
I can't imagine. Maybe Emma has never met him. I don't know.
Well, he knows, you know, he knows, you know, he goes ahead and he looks, he sees, he's on Brian Rio's show. He can go ahead and see. I mean, you can go ahead and see where he's in that listening on the chat. I mean, you know, folks, there is, you know, you have heard of Deuteronomy 23, verse 2, that a mamzer is not, a miscegenated bastard is not allowed into the congregation of Israel, even unto the 10th generation, you know, i.e. forever, correct?
Right.
So, how are you allowed to go ahead and bring one of these creatures in? Let's say Eli James was not a Jew. Let's say Bill Fink was not a Jew. Would they be committing, you know, let's say they were white, you know, they're not, you know, they're Jews, but let's say they were white. Would they be committing a sin of racial treason to be bringing the Mamzer into a congregation pretending that he's a minister?
Right.
Yeah, wouldn't they?
Separate. We're going to be totally separate, and there's no exceptions to this stuff.
No exceptions. Now, in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, you see where here Ezra was with 46,300 Israel, you know, Judeans and Benjamites, being returning from Babylon. How they returned from Babylon, and essentially they had fight with these Babylonians they brought with them, and also with these Edomite Jews and with these Moabites. And Nehemiah had the same problem. And you had these people to where they had infiltrated, you know, I mean, the high priest had a Moabite son-in-law. And these people had to be essentially driven out of the congregation, you know, in the books of Ezra and the books of Nehemiah. And I've gone ahead and preached about Ezra and Nehemiah and their problems. Ezra and Nehemiah had a duty, didn't they?
I don't know.
Okay, in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, what they were doing was they were bringing out these Jews, these Edomites, these Babylonians, these Moabites, and the rest who were not allowed into the congregation, and who had gone ahead and, in many cases, gone into the highest religious family. I mean, if you are the son-in-law of the high priest and you're a Moabite, essentially the high priest has gone ahead and violated the law of Moses, hasn't he?
I don't know, Martin. I mean, I'm not going to be hurt.
Okay. Well, the answer is that yes. A Moabite was one of them creatures, even though they were racially akin. I mean, they were, you know. You know where Moab and Ammon came from, don't you?
No, I don't.
Okay. You remember Abraham's nephew, Lot? His herdsman and Abraham's herdsman had a difference about, you know, grazing the cattle. So Abraham said, okay, Lot, you know, my nephew, I'll give you first choice here. And he went ahead and looked at the well-watered cities of the plain. And he went and chose them and pretty well left Abraham to the, well, to the hill country. Okay?
Okay.
Well, later on, these cities of the plain here, two of them were known as Sodom and Gomorrah, okay?
Right.
And Lot lived in Sodom. And pretty well, you remember about the 50, and then the 40, then the 30, then the 20, then 10 righteous men. I'll save Sodom and Gomorrah. You can find 10 righteous men. Essentially, the angels went down. You know, the men of Sodom were a bunch of faggots. They tried to go ahead and homosexually rape them. Essentially, the angels turned them blind and then told Lot and his wife and his daughters, you know, and their son-in-laws to get the hell out of, you know, get the hell out of Sodom. And essentially, it was just Lot, his wife, and his two daughters who made it. And then Lot, you know, Lot's wife decided that she, you know, she had to go ahead and commit an act of idolatry and, you know, judge God by going ahead and looking back to what was happening at Sodom. And essentially got turned into a pillar of salt, remember?
Right.
And later on, here comes Lot's wife here, and they run to this little town called Zoar, and they manage to ford up for about a week or so, and then Zoar is destroyed, so they have to run to the mountains, you know, around, you know, the Dead Sea Basin.
This is before Sodom and Gomorrah now, because once she was turned to salt, there was no more she was salt. That was the end of it, right?
Well, she was turned. We're not talking about Lot's wife. She was turned to salt because she was disobedient. She went in and looked back. So anyway, here they are in the mountains, all the cities of the plains, aka the watershed around what's now known as the Dead Sea, which used to have the Jordan flow into it. It used to be greener, but now it's not green anymore, and it's been burned. You know, you've had, you know, brimstone, i.e., sulfur and fire and all the rest come down, and here they are. Living in a cave, and his two daughters think that there's no more men in the world, so they got to go ahead and perpetuate the human species. So they went ahead and took some wine flasks, and the older daughter went ahead and got her daddy Lot drunk, went and screwed him, and she gave birth to this little bastard named Moab. And then the younger one did the same thing, and she gave birth to a little bastard named Ammon. Okay? So that's where Ammon and Moab came about. All right?
I believe it.
I mean, the thing about it is whenever you have somebody saying that the Bible is allegorical, then what you do is you set yourself up as a god to determine what portions of the Bible you are going to go ahead and believe and not believe. And I've had enough of bell priests saying that I'm going to believe this and I'm not going to believe that. Okay? So I don't, you know, essentially I believe whatever the Bible says. Now, some of it, you know, like I'm not quite sure about Yahweh creating, you know, recreating the entire world in 6 24-hour periods. You know, a day, you know, with Yahweh is like 1,000 years. Remember?
No, I don't know.
Okay, but you know, I would say more like seven, you know, 6 ages here. You don't go ahead and insist upon stuff which the Bible doesn't say here, but on the other hand, yes. If you're asking me, do I believe that story about Lot and his two daughters and Moab and Ammon? Yes, I do believe that story, okay?
Okay.
All right?
That's the question, that's all.
Okay. In any case, where do we get out to that here is that essentially you've always had, ever since Cain's been spawned, you have had, essentially, Jews try to go ahead and have sex with the daughters of men and have their send their daughters to the, you know, to the sons of men. And essentially, that's why Yahweh wanted Joshua to kill all these Canaanites. They were to kill them all. They weren't to go ahead and leave any of them to breed. That's why it's sort of hilarious hearing two Jews like Dan Johns and, you know, McFagg, the same, you know, McFagg tried to go ahead and get, you know, score a whole bunch of Israelite pussy, and not just one. They want to go ahead and defile a whole bunch of daughters of Israel. You know what I mean? You know.
Well, so, thank you, but Dan Johns is a little delusional too. But that's his.
Well, they're all delusional. I mean, shoot, Dan Johns had a chance to make serial polygamy work, and from what I gather, it didn't for Dan Johns, you know what I mean?
He gave me what?
He had a chance to make serial polygamy work. He had old sister Cherie agree to it here, but from what I gather, she got tired of it, and, wife number two got tired of it here, too. So, from what I gather, he's had his chance at serial polygamy, and it hasn't worked out for him. You know what I mean?
Well, has Dan Johnson been divorced twice, or what's his deal?
No, well, what happens, he's not able to marry two women at the same time. Heck, Georgia isn't even Utah. Heck, Utah ain't even Utah. This is not 1880 Utah. You know what I mean?
He's not married right now, is he?
No, from what I gather, sister Cherie got tired of his shit, and went ahead and just divorced his ass. Didn't mention anything about the second wife. He agreed to it. And from what I gather, second wife got tired of his shit and left him here. So, hell, he don't even have one wife. From what I gather, much less two or three or four or five or seven. You know what I mean? That's why he got a little bit annoyed at you here for, telling you to make monogamy work here. Hell, he wasn't even able to make monogamy work here, much less serial polygamy.
That's the jab he didn't like.
Well, yeah, you sort of hit him at a sensitive spot. So yeah, he got a little bit huffy about it. I mean, I sort of laughed at him when you had wrote that. I took time off. I was watching Survivor and I was going ahead and looking at you jabbing. But, I said, Cheryl, old Russell, he's just gonna, old Dad Josh is gonna love, that shot. The rest just went ahead and put it, across his bow, and he wasn't too thrilled with it. He wasn't too thrilled with it at all.
No, he wasn't happy with that comment. I'm sure he wasn't. He realizes that he may never be involved with a polygamous deal.
Well, he's had his chance, though. He's had his chance, hasn't he?
I guess so, Martin. I know almost nothing. I don't know anything about him, actually.
Okay. Anyway, someone's going ahead and talking. Pretty well, Herbert Armstrong's church and Comparay said that essentially Yahweh didn't really create the world in 6 days. What he did is that the world became as a result of, you're led to believe that as a result of Satan's rebellion, that the world became dark and void. And essentially what this was not really a creation, it was a recreation, because Satan was not only the governor of Earth, he was the governor of a number of other planets. And essentially the Archangel Michael, when he rebelled, stripped Satan of his power to go to these other planets and put him and the Watchers, these other demons, put these demons onto the face of the earth to where they could not leave the earth unless they had, like as in Job's, had permission. Like in Job chapter 1, you have to where Yahweh summons all the angels, and that includes the demons, and he asks Satan what he's doing. He says, I'm just wandering to and from the earth. Well, Satan isn't allowed to wander anywhere else other than the earth, and he's wandering around seeking, like a lion, what he may devour. And, that's pretty well that's pretty well a question on this here. But I'm going to go ahead and get back to this R.D. Bradshaw. He said he could not fathom how James would go ahead and allow this. Well, it's not only Eli James, it's William Fink. Now, he says, if he wants to teach the colors or some way his brothers, his congregation wants to accept this, their business, not mine. I could care less what he believes and teaches people.
Martin, instead of discussing Fink and Eli, it's a lot more profitable to discuss what prophecy has not yet taken place. Again, Emma Heiser has come up with a ludicrous position, in my opinion, that nearly all the prophecy has taken place. I think that's ridiculous, personally. And I would rather go through some time, not right now, because I'm fixed to go to sleep right now. I'm getting tired.
Oh, okay. The Worldwide Church of God. Now, this R.D. Bradshaw says that he says, I myself once long ago was a member of the Armstrong Church as I have a long heritage with British Israelitism. And I've gone ahead and looked at his page, and it's a dual seed line page. It does tend to favor Herbert Armstrong's teachings, but in any case, and it's a fairly good page here. But he was, you know, as far as what Herbert Armstrong, you know, preached here, he said that 90% of prophecy has not been fulfilled, and I agree, you know, at least in the major portions of it. You know, you agree. I mean, here you have, and this is one of the things that I ridiculed Eli James and, you know, William Fink on, in that here they are claiming the Roman Catholic Church put Satan in the pit from 500 to 1500. And so as a result...
It was
ridiculous. Because, well, the timeline is that you will have, essentially, you will have things start to fall apart worse and worse and worse. And what Jesus Christ was talking about was the end days, and Jesus Christ's promise was that he would return. But he's not going to return. He's not going to return until after the Great Tribulation, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then when you get to what? Oh, Revelations verses 20, you know, 7 through 10, it says that Satan is put in a pit for 1,000 years.
Pardon? Some of the time. I'm going to sleep right now.
Okay, well, I'll talk to you later here, but no, 90% of biblical prophecy has not been fulfilled.
Okay? 90% has not been fulfilled.
I agree with the Herbert Armstrong Church. 90% has not been fulfilled. The timeline is that things are going to get worse and worse and worse. There's going to be a great tribulation.
True.
Then pretty well, I used to go ahead and listen to where 90%, a third will be killed at this, a third will be killed at that, a third will be killed. I said, well, shoot, you have three thirds. That means everybody's going to die.
And
essentially what, you know, essentially the you know, in Christian identity, and certainly within Protestantism, you know, preterism was an attempt by the Roman Catholic Church to go ahead and say that we've already had this sort of thing here, and, you know, Satan was put in the pit, you know, because of the Roman Catholic Church, and, you know, he got turned loose because of these evil Protestants, you know, rebelling against the power of Rome and all this here. That's what preterism is about. But, okay, the Protestant is that there's going to be a great tribulation, Jesus returns, Satan's going to put in a pit for 1,000 years,
I'm tired, I'm going to sleep right now.
Okay, talk to you later. Bye-bye, Russ. Okay, well, Russ winds down pretty quick here once he winds down. But the timeline is, you know, Great Tribulation, you know, 3.5 years of it being pretty bad, and then 3.5 years is getting worse, you know, to where the first 3.5 years most of the population is going to die of this world. By the way, supposedly, within a week or so, the world's population is going to reach 7 billion. In any case, during the first 3.5 years, the vast majority of the population dies. Then pretty well, the 3.5 years, you end up having it being pretty well, you know, bad for the rest of them. Then you have, you know, you end up having all the stuff. Babylon has fallen, everybody's crying about it. Then you have Satan bound for 1,000 years. In Revelations 20, verse 7, he's turned loose for a short time, and then, you know, all these other, you know, I'm not sure if it's just white people or Adamite people or, you know, the niggers and the rest here, but what you do is that they go ahead, even once Satan is turned loose, they forget the 1,000 years of the good millennium and follow Satan, and they encompass the holy city, and Yahweh sends down fire. And then after that, there is the great white throne judgment. And pretty well, the Christian identity belief, the dual seed line Christian identity belief, is that the only ones who are going to be resurrected to face the judgment is not the niggers, is not the rest of them, not even the Jews. The only thing that's going to be resurrected is the Whiggers to go ahead and account for their good or their evil. And then they will be divided, and some will be burnt, and they're not going to burn forever and ever and ever and ever. I mean, I got to laugh at Greggy Howard being totally hard, and, you know, oh, you're going to burn hell forever and ever and ever. Well, that's a Sibley belief. That's a Roman Catholic belief. That's a Baal priest belief. Here, Greggy, you're full of shit. You know, I mean, you're just a skilt-licking Baptist tard here that the G.U.I. James got for a yes, ma'am, you know, for a yes wigger. You know, I mean, you know, from what I gather, this great white throne judgment will be among creatures only which have a soul, i.e., the white man, the Adamite, the Israelite. Good or bad. Only he has a soul here. So that's who it's going to go ahead and resurrect. And that's only the ones who are going to resurrect. And then after that, well, the Bible doesn't say. So, unlike Gerald Waterhouse, who could speculate for 5 hours on it, I'm not going to. I'm not, you know, this is a joke for people who used to be in Worldwide Church of God. Gerald Waterhouse would essentially be the tard who would go ahead and talk for hours and hours and hours and hours, you know, about how Herbert Armstrong is the prophet, the one apostle, and, oh, what we'd all be doing here. And, you know, I mean, I used to wonder, how does he know? Still wonder how he knows here. I think old Joe Waterhouse is dead, so maybe he's found out, the goofy bastard. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take a break. And we'll have the next section here. Hail Victory. This is the world of Command Dork McFag. A dirty tubal can I do more man's a fag. Effects of men's are ass galore. If for a wife is a whore, or so says the brag of McFag. On the asses of them kikes is McFag. The pixie tongue's ass to mouth it does wag. With the pecker in his hand, it can come on any man, or so says the brag of McFag. Fucking and sucking and two butts and biting McFag does all is true. Yapping and crapping and cutting and pointing, McFag is a Jew. Doping and yapping with pecker and flapping and sticking to Timbuktu. Though shit does happen, McFag will keep yapping. McCandert McFag comes through. This is the world of Commandort McFag. A double stoodle can I do more man's a fag. He specks of men's galore, it's for wife, says a whore, or so says the brag of McFag. This is the world of Commandort McFag. A dirty tubal can I do more man's a fag. McFag will do anything if T Brain says it's a king, or so says the brag of McFag. Okay, folks, we're back for the next section of Movement Third. I'm going to go ahead and finish up with what I was doing about how this R.D. Bradshaw of Idaho was going ahead and saying. Now, he goes ahead and goes on where he's saying this. Lynn says, quote, James on his real name, that per James is up to Linstead to prove that James, you know, James is or not, or is not. Well, this is like the situation with Obongo. All along he says, not his task to prove his citizenship. It is up to his opponents to prove he is now a citizen born in the U.S. here. This approach says Obongo doesn't have to prove anything. Instead, it is up to us who must prove him wrong. And this is the James' approach. He is not interested in proving who he is or proving anything. Instead, he is demanding that Winston and others prove who he is or is not. Well, folks, Eli James, Obongo, pigs, they insist that we go ahead and prove them guilty to their satisfaction. Now, the Felix Dzerzhinsky answer to that is just simply start scanning, and after 3 or 4 days, why, they'll be more than likely to want to go ahead and come clean. But we don't live in days like that yet. And the answer is that, no, we don't have proof to a Jew. I don't have proof to a Jew. It's been nearly a year since Eli James went ahead and was called me a child molester, convicted one, an ADL plant, this, that, and the other thing, all because I insisted that, well, that Brian Real wasn't white, that he was a Mamzer. And I'm going to go ahead and replay parts of that October 31st thing here when it comes around time. It's getting up close to a one-year anniversary about that. So, yes, he could easily and publicly, you know, furnish his legal birth certificate and a picture ID showing he is a man named James and not a Khazar Jew named Katz. And I'm not talking about a fake birth certificate as Obongo has now produced. Let me conclude by saying I do not approve of people change their names. When I registered for this forum, I had some reservation about using a so-called username rather than my real name. But since this is a forum practice, I went along with it. There may be a suspicion that the federal and ADL spies may not be able to follow us with a fake username instead of a real name, and therefore it makes sense to use a fake username. But I know both the feds and the ADL have a complete profile on all of us and everything we have done on the internet. They get this data from our electronic transmissions from Google and other search engines, which supply data to them. So when I use Idaho, I'm not fooling them. But set the record straight, since I'm making a case for true names, I am a male named R.D. Bradshaw. I've been that way all my life. My parents were racial English, Welsh, and Irish, and my ancestor religion on both sides was essentially Baptist. I myself, long ago, was a member of the Armstrong Church, so I have a long heritage with British Israelitism. Therefore, I'm a racial Israelite of the Lost Tribes, but very Jewish in religion. Now, he goes ahead, now, Obagender Bender goes ahead and sideswipes all this sort of thing in the next portion here. Let me go ahead and copy it and put it on the chat window. And, you know, well, you might end up having to go ahead and change internet service providers if it sucks where you're at, okay? So, go on here. So, yeah, well, you know, if you're not getting paid here, there's, you know, I'm quite sure in this big town you're at, you can go ahead and get a number. You have a lot more choices than if you live in Podunkville in the Midwest here. Okay. Idaho, R.D., you're not going to make many friends with CI siding with Marty on anything. Apart from the fact the guy is out of his mind, he's a compulsive liar. For the past couple of years, Marty has been telling everyone that I'm a transsexual. He believes I'm a transsexual because I have a picture of a beautiful white woman as my avatar because some idiots on VNNF said so. No, they said that you had a gender identity issues. In fact, a number of people said you have gender identity issues. But you gotta laugh when VNNF tards are saying the same thing. They also said that I'm a black woman who hosts an anti-racist show out in New Jersey, but Marty would have too hard time trying to reconcile that with my being in reality a middle-aged white guy who lives in Australia. He seriously avoids making any mention of it. Well, look, Obagender Bender, we don't know who the hell you are. I do know that chances are you're not white. You might be a Jew. I think you probably are a Mamzer. I think you do have gender identity issues. I know, do know you're a liar. Do know you're a Zogbot. Know you're a friend of a, oh, piece of shit named Liability Clueless, who is a Zog agent provocateur and a good, you know, supporter of Brian Real. Now, R.D. Bradshaw didn't make the point is that Brian Real is a big supporter of Fink as well. Well, Fink went ahead and used to be on the show quite a bit. So, folks, here are these people supporting an open Mamzer. And pretty well, that's why I call Brian Real my Judas Mamzer. Because what he's done is that all these Mamzers and Jews support this Mamzer faggot. Just like, you know, just like McBragg here goes ahead, he's trying to help poor old legal Mamzer 2012 Jobs with his Crohn's disease. So, Marty, you know, Marty also claims Bill Fink is a Jew, soy brother, is a homosexual mobster. I don't know about mobster, I said homosexual Mamzer. And Pastor Visser, his wife and children are Mamzers. Well, Visser have gone ahead and admitted to being a Cherokee or red nigger in order to get out of the stalking charge last December. He's a firm believer in the Jew theory that if you repeat a lie long enough, people eventually believe it. Well, so do you, old gender bender. Oh, and I should mention his dream of dreams of skin alive until the seventh generation of children of white people who've done him wrong and saved their dismembered corpses to their parents. He freely admits to, you know, his, just ask him, it should be this. The answer is that, hey, folks, if you're a regime criminal, you're a race traitor, and you are to go ahead and destroy Yahweh's servant nation, you and your spawn deserve whatever the hell they get. And that is exactly the biblical view. You see, if Yahweh went ahead and starved to death the Israelites in 2 Samuel chapter 21 for 3 years before he told David what was wrong, and the reason that what was wrong is that essentially Saul went ahead and killed these Amorite Jew Gibeonites for trying to go ahead and kill him. He demanded that Saul's sons and his grandsons be hanged for that. And if he went ahead and destroyed not only Ahab's family, but Ahab's regime criminals and Baal priest supporters and their families, Yahweh really doesn't care what happens to racial traitors. Well, Yahweh does not care what happens to Jews. Yahweh does not care what happens to Mamzers. But folks, like I pointed out, the reason we have a Mamzer problem, even a Jew problem, is because of Uyghurs, because of treasonous Uyghurs who essentially have no problem with racial treason in destroying, well, our very racial state. And an ordinary criminal, why, yes, it ended with his crime when he went ahead and paid the price by being hung or flogged for minor offenses or sold in slavery for thievery. It ended with an ordinary criminal's punishment ended with him. But a regime criminal's punishment ends not with him, but with the regime criminal's entire family. Unto, depending on what you read, either the fourth or the seventh generation. The point of the matter is, if you're going ahead and skinning alive regime criminals for destroying families, no problem. They're not going to make it to seven generations. Not with skinning the first two, three, or four of them. You know what I mean? How many regime criminals, or how many anybody, sees seven generations? The answer is, well, none. If a generation is every, 25 years, seven would be, 175 years? Well, essentially, if mankind's limit is 120, and most time just only, 50 short of that, or 310, how could you go ahead and have a regime criminal see the seventh generation being skinned? Well, folks, I make no denial that essentially we have a Uyghur problem, and that until we go ahead and destroy treasonous Uyghurs who are in the government, who are out because of their own wish for riches, have gone ahead and sold out our entire race to evildoers, folks, there should be no mercy for regime criminals. And the only way to go ahead and make sure that the regime criminals are stopped is go ahead and not only exterminate them for their crimes, but their entire families. And also the families of anybody who support these regime criminals. Folks, that's why we end up having great tribulation. I see all these people running to and fro and thinking they're going to somehow save something here. If they only go ahead and unite behind, say, a stupid cunt like April Gady. And y'all seeing, Colonel House getting tired of April Gady's horseshit. April Gady is a pure-blooded, hybrid nigger, wigger, skank, who don't have enough sense to shut her mouth or shut her legs. At all. None. But folks, when people say, well, how can you go ahead and do that? Where the Bible says that you can do that? My answer is where in the Bible does it say I cannot do whatever is necessary in order to save Christian Israel? Where in the Bible does it say that this sort of thing needs to cease? And the answer is that no, it needs to go ahead, the treason needs to cease.
the punishment needs to be initiated, not to cease. We're going on. As for Pastor Eli James, me and you, where's the proof? Change his name, I don't care how many times, does not constitute proof. All it proves is he seeks a certain degree of anonymity. Christian identities are prone to legal and financial sanctions for their beliefs, so I don't blame him for wanting to keep his real identity under wraps. You'll find a lot of Christian identities use a pseudonym. Obadiah is not the name I was born with. Marty has something like 1,000 aliases or spies he likes to call them to his name. These include Amy Rose and Poor White Girl in the South. Well, the answer is no. That was just something made up by Jeremy Visser and his lying man's her brother. I never posted as poor Amy Rose. She was some sort of delusional wiggress who essentially just posted idiotic posts here like, look at me, I'm sweet Amy Rose. Poor White Girl in the South, I have no idea who the heck she is. Although Marty strenuously denies it, the aforementioned female aliases are his because that would cast serious doubt on his already ludicrous claims that I'm a she-male, expose him as a bigger lying hypocrite than anybody in CI except you and a handful of dazzlingly dim-witted souls known to be. Well, I'm a gender bender, you can believe whatever the hell you want to. You can lie whatever the hell you want to. Visser can. I mean, Visser's a mamzer. I think you're a mamzer. But let's just go ahead and point out something here. Obagender Bender claims that Jews get to go ahead and change their name, or anybody gets to go ahead and change their name, and yet they want a position of leadership. And the answer is that, hey, well, I've not been in the movement as long as Harold Covington. But when I came into the movement in 1993, this was before the internet was around. And back in the days, if you wanted to run a militia or wanted to be a member of the militia, you know, there was no internet to hide behind. And certainly, if you were a leader, you had to go ahead and show your real name and your real face. And that's why I've gone ahead and showed my real name and my face when I'm talking as Pastor Martin Linstead. Before I decided to become a pastor, and the reason I decided to become a pastor was looking at all the wretched filth like Gillette and the rest of them who were total tards and zogbots and figured out that, well, whatever they did, I could not do a worse job. I went ahead and used my real name. Now, Obagender Bender, just thinking our Jew here, but he wants to go ahead and hide behind an internet alias and thinks that because it's yapping and yapping and yapping, they can go ahead and pull me or anybody else down. But folks, if you don't have any real presence, nobody knows who you are. You can just be some little Jew as well as a transsexual or a female or whatever with gender identity issues. Well, folks, if we don't know who the hell you are, then why should we even bother listening to you? You could just be some secret Jew. Don't know who the hell you are. Now, Eli James goes ahead and he runs a little publishing company. He goes ahead and he's taken books along with Clayton Douglas here up to a while and wrote a book in conjunction here. Essentially, it's just a plagiarism from Swift and Comparay. I mean, Eli James essentially doesn't produce anything new. And how can he? He's a Jew. He don't know anything about it other than what he yaps here to pretend he's to be Christian identity. But folks, if you're going to go ahead and claim to be a pastor, you can't go ahead and just be Pastor Fuzz hiding on the internet and going ahead and having people listen to you. People at least need to know who you are if you're going to claim any leadership role. And then, over Jeremy Bennett, that brings us to the pick of the Orthodox Jew that looks like Eli. Marty insists that has hard evidence that Eli is one of Trump. But there are millions of Jews who look white. I posted a picture of Jew killer Ira Einhorn a while ago that looked a lot like Marty. Well, according to Obagender Bender, when Marty was asked about this on the News Guy show, Marty squirmingly admitted you could probably find a Jew that looked like any particular white person. So much for his argument that Eli is a Jew. Well, hey, Peter was good mamzer, I think he's a Jew himself here. He doesn't have much use for me. He doesn't have no like for me. He's going ahead and play his little Jew tricks on me. But folks, how I got to Eli James was the fact that, you know, here's a picture of Brian Real. looking like a, well, nigger sometimes, a gook other times, a beaner other times. Essentially, there's no question that Brian Rio isn't white at all. And folks, I know other things here, like him interfering with Pastor John Britton's case here, which essentially are not really public knowledge. And here's Obagender Bender showing up, having all these critters on this forum. So here's Obagender Bender on Viscer's forum, running his mouth. And then you had another little tard who went ahead and showed up later here to where, I don't like Linstead here. And you have another one called Seedliner, which is actually just a Viscer sock puppet. Which is fine. Folks, if you don't know who I am or you don't really agree with me, what am I going to do about it? And the answer is nothing. Nothing at all. So, Marty's doppelganger, Ira Einhorn. Well, I've never really, I don't remember seeing this. Well, I think I've seen a picture of this Ira Einhorn. As I remember, he didn't look anything like me at all. But, you know, hey. That's up to people to go ahead and decide. I don't really care. It's not just, you know, it's not been what Eli James looks like, although he certainly looks like that Jew running around, it looks like that Jew looks like Eli James' younger twin brother. But folks, the main thing that's going ahead and talked against Eli James is that essentially Eli James supporting this man is named Brian Real. Eli James wanted to go ahead and change Christianity doctrine. As does Emma Heiser. You have all these people who want to go ahead and change Christianity doctrine. And this R.D. Bradshaw made a very good point. Of course, he needs to understand is that, hey, it's a Fink problem too. Brian Real and William Fink were even closer than Eli James and Brian Real. Is Eli James a Jew? Yes, Eli James is a Jew. I think he's a Sephardic Jew as opposed to an Ashkenazi Jew, but does it really matter? He's a Jew who wants to go ahead and bring in Mamzers. Nowadays, what you have, I mean, you got to laugh to where here you got two, you know, like yesterday, you had legal Mamzer on Dan Johns' father, and you had Command Dork McFag pretend to be an Aryan, essentially, well, Command Dork McFag and Legal Mamzer, they both have Crohn's. Or as I call it, Jew-Ass-Gates. I used to call it Jew-Ass cancer, but it's more like Jew-Ass-Gates. To where a kike is just so nasty that its own Jew-asshole is rebelling against it. Isn't that sort of hilarious? Well, you have a Jew whose own Jew asshole wants to go ahead and be separated from that Jew. When it's going ahead and acting up, you know, with a crone flare like poor old little legal Mamzer. And then you have McBragg knowing full well that Crohn's is used as Jew disease, and then he's claiming that he has, what, heartburn? But yet he knows how to go ahead and cure it. Here they are talking about getting more and more white women as multiple wives when they can't even deal with the one woman they got. Old McBragg, he's a hardcore unemployable. His squaw wife works for the Washington state government. He's gone ahead, I heard, and threatened to go postal if his wife loses his job because he gets outed. How in the world is he going to go ahead and support another woman, especially a white woman? Here he is a Jew. What is he going to do? Try to spawn on her because he hasn't been able to spawn any little tykelet, you know, upon his red nigger squaw working for the government? What would he do with another woman? They ain't able to not do with one woman. Same with Dan Johns. Now, Dan Johns doesn't have clothes, but he went ahead and gave it to his own kid, Legal Man 2012. How many? I mean, here he is claiming to be a Christianity minister. I mean, what he wants more white women so he can go ahead and spawn some more tykes with Jew-ass gays like Legal Mamzer. I hear Legal Mamzer is a thoroughly you know, sick character here. You know, when he threatened to go postal, I heard he threatened to go postal on one of Eli James's or, you know, one of Eli James's or Dan John's talk show things here. People were saying, well, what are you going to do if Winstead goes ahead? Ouch. He goes ahead and finds your name. Essentially, old McBragg threatened to go postal. Now, have I seen it for myself? And the answer is no. I did see, supposedly when McBragg, somebody went ahead and said McBragg was married to a squaw named Hilda Serpius, and they went ahead and said they lived in Lakeview, Washington here, and they had a street address or something like that. There's a bunch of people, and I need to go ahead and look back on one of these, what, Eli James shows here. But yeah, I have heard Marty. Well, it looks like we got a troll here, okay. This was about a month and a half ago. This was essentially, from my guy, I was pretty well getting down on it. It was supposedly on one of Eli James's shows, you know, Eli James or Dan John's shows, from about a month and a half ago. Okay, that's when I heard it. I haven't seen it for myself, okay? Okay, has heard lots of shit. It will go on this forum. Socialist phalanx? Well, I'm not really a socialist phalanx type here, you know what I mean? I'm not really a Strasserite either. Okay? Socialist phalanx here, huh? Well, okay. I think socialist phalanx, you know, has done so well without me, and I think it can go ahead and do well without me again here. I'm not really into, you know, maybe 12 is month nuts? No. No, it ain't month nuts. Anyway. Yeah, buddy, that's for a lot of shit. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and change the subject now to, Edgar Steele. I haven't gone ahead and answered Edgar Steele, you know, the free Edgar Steele invite. I haven't heard anything from this little girl who wanted to go ahead and interview me. Pardon, you know, Aryan Nations. Mona Montgomery wanted to go ahead and ask me to invite her to the next radio show, and she didn't go ahead and, you know, I don't think she showed up here. She was over on Finkelschimmies. But let's go ahead and look at the Northwest Net here. Now, folks, I've been paying attention to, you know, Edgar Steele's situation. And Edgar is, well, he's in a good deal of trouble. Got to admit that. But, well, let's go ahead and look at this here. Supporters of Edgar Steele. Only hours from now, you will receive another message via this email list. It will describe at length how the Steele family, assisted by attorney Wesley Hoyt and supporters, is mounting an approach to the USA Supreme Court to consider the myriad prosecutorial improprieties, not to mention the American constitutional rights violations, which Mr. Steele has been subjected to during his political prisoner frame-up slash kangaroo court lynching. In the message to come, we'll ask supporters to write to the 9th USSC justices to ask they consider our two-element petition. This is a very real, very important request to mobilize supporters to physical activism that we believe can seriously benefit our fallen compatriot. Many of you helped out with gracious financial donations. In addition to giving your time and efforts to this cause, I'm writing you with a moderately simple request. If any of you have the wherewithal to create a 1-6-minute video of yourself speaking to the Edgar Steele supporters at large, to tell them your face to their face, they should take the time to send hand-signed letters to the USSC justices. I will be more than happy to place your video comments
on the www.freeedgarsteele.com page. It gives letter writing campaign info. You don't need to go into details. The details will be there for all to read. A simple direct message recorded with video and audio is more than fine. No fancy music, graphics, intro, just this request. Something along the lines of, "Hi, I'm Steve Johnson. I just sent my letters to the United States Supreme Court asking them to consider Edgar Steele's petition. Yes, I had to edit and print out 9 letters, including my name and address and signature. I stuffed 9 envelopes, supplied 9 stamps, mailed them out. I feel it's the right thing to do, not only to stop the injustice forced on Mr. Steele, but to help him fight, put an end to loss of life for all federal detainees in custody. Please follow the directions here and join me in this important letter-writing campaign." And he goes ahead and says, you know, "My heartfelt appreciation goes to those who have been part of our team. Thanks once more for helping to free Edgar Steele. Best regard, Bob Magnuson, Spokane, Washington, Vice President, Edgar Steele Defense Fund, and FES webmaster." Now, I don't think very highly of old Bob Magnuson. I think he's a little dweeb, just like Alex Linder said. But, if I did go ahead and send a video, essentially what it would be about is that what's wrong with going ahead and skinning out some federal judges? They're a bunch of worthless thieving bastards anyway. In fact, I don't much care for this latest one here. But as I look at it, I'm not in a bad shape as Edgar Steele. And as I look at it, folks, this judge has essentially said that, folks, white men don't have any rights at all to go ahead and run for public office or to vote for other white men. So as I look at it, it's an opportunity as white men to say, why should we obey Zog laws? Why should we pay Zog taxes? Folks, this sort of thing is sort of like a boon, like, well, sci-fi Faber going ahead and kicking me out when he was a big friend of Hal Turner's. Folks, old Hal Turner's pet tard, you know, Aryan Nation's tard, didn't like me. Boo-hoo, 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 boo-hoo. Am I worried about it? And the answer is no. Why should I be? Why should I be? I'm looking to see if white nationalists is, you know, still down on my end. Okay. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and send a letter to Edgar Steele, well, Bob Magnuson, tell him about what I would do as, well, for an interview with Cindy Steele. Essentially, what boils down to is why in the world you beg and beg and beg and beg for a redress of grievances. Folks, did them people in Libya beg and beg and beg Gaddafi, "Please, Omar, Gaddafi, Doug, please be nice to me. Please stop killing my family. Please do this and please do that. Please stop sending me to prison. Please, you know, stop." No, the answer is they had enough of this shit. They found him in a drainage ditch. They pulled him out and killed his ass. And that was the end of that shit. You know what I mean? Well, it looks like the database, you know, looks like it's up and that the database doesn't want to work. Oh, well, that's an improvement. When the database doesn't want to work, at least I got database error. So, oh well. Okay. Okay. Well, I don't think Gaddafi Duck was a Jew boy. He looks a lot like a red nigger here. You know what I mean? He doesn't know. Let's see. He'll probably be up in a little bit. Anyway. You got to go ahead and laugh because here are these people in the movement. In some cases, they go ahead and believe
that there's some way of having peace, and somehow they're going to go ahead and have justice. And that's not going to happen at all. That's not the way of the world for anybody to go ahead and get justice from an evil regime, which in many ways is on the way out. Well, it looks like whitenationalist.org/forum is up again. Well, ain't that wonderful? Okay. I'm going to go ahead and take another quick break. I'm going to go ahead and do a little bit of web page stuff here while it's up. I'll be back in a minute. Hail victory.
Whatever you say nothing when you talk about you know what. Or if you know who should hear, you know what you'll get. It'll take you off, you know where, you wouldn't know how long. So for you know who's sake, don't let anyone hear you sing it. Sing it away. Whatever you say nothing when you talk about you know what. Or if you know who should hear, you know what you'll get. It'll take you off, you know where, you wouldn't know how long. So for you know who's sake, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. You all know what I'm speaking of when I mention you know what. And I fear it's very dangerous to even mention that. For the other ones are always near, although you may not see. And if anyone else who told you that, please don't mention me. Whatever you say, say nothing when you talk about you know what. Or if you know who's gonna hear, you know what you'll get. Well, it'll take you off, you know where, you wouldn't know how long. So for you know who's sake, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. You all know who I'm speaking of when I mention you know who. Or if you know who should hear you, you know what he'd do. So if you don't see me again, you'll know why I'm away. And if anyone asks you where I've gone, here's what you must say. Whatever you say, say nothing when you talk about you know what. Or if you know who should hear you, you know what you'll get. Well, they'll take you on, you know where, we wouldn't know how long. So for you know who's sick, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. Well, that's enough about so-and-so, not to mention such and such. When I better end my song, I already said too much. For the less you say and the less you hear, the less you'll go astray. And the less you think and the less you do, the more you'll hear them say. Oh, whatever you say, say nothing. When you talk about you know what, or if you know who you say, you know what you'll get. Or they'll take you off, you know where, but you wouldn't know how long. So for you know who's sake, don't let anyone hear you singing that song. And whatever you say, say nothing. When you talk about you know what, or if you know who should hear you, you know what you'll get. They'll take you off, you know where, but you wouldn't know how long. So for you know who's sick, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. And whatever you say, say nothing. When you talk about you know what, but if you know who's sick, you know what you'll get. They'll take you off, you know where, but you wouldn't know how long. So for you know who's sick, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. For you know who's sick, don't let anyone hear you singing this song.
Okay, folks, we're back. I'm not quite sure what section of the movement tour this would be. What, about probably the third or fourth? Anyway, I'm going to go ahead. Someone went ahead and sent me another question, and I'm going to go ahead and answer it. But right now, Alex Linder, someone has asked what's going on in the movement here. The main thing I've seen is essentially the Free Edgar Steele people are talking about getting their bunch to mail a bunch of letters to the Supreme Court. Now, folks, that's just altogether, I think, I don't know if it's altogether a waste of time, but I think it is. I have a, you know, if I have an interview with Cindy Steele, it's going to be, well,
is going to be, why in the world should we even obey these goofy bastards? Why should we even listen to them? Now, what they're finding out over in Europe is that the Greeks are pretty well rioting. They're saying, we're not going to spend any more money. We don't have any more money to spend. Let this government go bankrupt, and let's just go ahead and start all over with a new government. And pretty well, they're saying the same thing in Ireland. Pretty well, they're working on repudiating these bankster debts. And when they go ahead and do that, all these thieving bankster Jews will be left as just simply a bunch of paper money. People will go ahead and get tired of this stuff. So whining, like Edgar Steele's supporters do, and like Edgar Steele wants to do, I mean, I looked at his last letter, Judge, I'm so tired of this, please have mercy. Well, folks, you don't beg the system for mercy. People go ahead and talk about how mean I am when I talk about essentially feeding their, you know, children's nuts to them here and skinning them out. And over on Beer Barrel, I have a whole bunch of little mamsers who are calling me a child molester, just like JT Radio on Covington's Facebook page. You know, McFag and the rest of them. Essentially, what they are is that they support the government. JT Reddy, I think, is altogether a Zogbot, a snitch. Essentially, he's just trolling, looking for retards to go ahead and throw in jail. And you have a bunch of these Mazers. They believe whatever the hell the government tells them to believe. So what do you do about that? And the answer is you can't do anything about it. Other than make sure that when this great tribulation comes that you destroy these cockroaches as much as they can be destroyed. These people are essentially evil, and you can't go ahead and get anything better as long as they're alive. What is Edgar Steele trying to do? Well, he's trying to go ahead and he's talking about sending a bunch of letters to the United States Supreme Court to go ahead and undo the corrupt shit that they went ahead and did. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm sort of relieved to go ahead and get from this judge after 3 years nearly of my Obongo lawsuit to have it dismissed altogether. I don't want to go ahead and proceed with a little rump. I want to go ahead and have it voted up or down, and it's been dismissed. And the basis on being dismissed is that they claim they cannot understand what I'm saying. And folks, I realize in many cases I'm obscure. I go ahead and talk on several language, you know, several levels. I admit that. But when it comes time to go ahead and explain it, you know, the main one is the shoot. The major political parties have gone ahead and ruled if you're white, you have a white skin, you don't get to run for office and you don't get to vote for somebody who represents you. You've got to go ahead and vote for bullshit Mitt or this McCain nigger. You've got to go ahead and eat whatever the hell is served on your plate. You've got to go ahead and eat 3 helpings of shit and then go ahead and grin about it and say how nice it is. And folks are telling about how they're going to go ahead and save us. They're not going to save us. It's just going to be more shit, the same old shit. I mean, Bush didn't really start it here, but he went ahead and he ramped it up, and now the nigger has ramped it up even more. To where essentially there's nothing left to go ahead and save here. Nothing left to go ahead and save. And that goes ahead is that I'm going to go ahead and go. You have Alex Winder talking about using a real name for new posters. Folks, DNNF is a data mining operation. Like I said, Kevin Hartham wouldn't be, probably be in prison now facing 32 years, i.e. the rest of his life, in prison, if he wouldn't have been on DNNF, if he'd have gone ahead and mined your business here, if he'd stayed away from Corn Cob, perhaps. Who knows? But here you have them talking about last comments about whether or not I'm going to go ahead, you know, face it. And now Swinder, he admits that, you know, he doesn't know if it's going to improve his little forum. Probably isn't. It's just nothing more than a tard corral, just like Full Fag Seeds has degenerated.
Only the bulletin forums are degenerate. I was listening to Harold Covington bitching about Yahoo groups and how he thinks that, you know, folks, the problem with Yahoo groups was that you ended up having to go ahead and if you had Nazi stuff or racist stuff or Christian identity stuff, you had to go ahead and make it private, which meant that all the people who were listening were probably just Zogboster spies. And then once you go ahead and don't feed the Zogboster spies, essentially it goes ahead and dies. And yes, just like GeoCities, I imagine that Yahoo groups will go ahead and disappear. Or maybe it won't here. Maybe it won't. But in many cases, what you have is that I sort of think that there's now a move from the forums, the V-Bulletin forums, to the blogs. I think that's where the movement has gone ahead and been here. And I sort of miss that because it doesn't allow nearly as much participation. But what you have is you have more and more a all sort of breakdown. Now last week, there was a big thing here by this one guy who spoke about, you know, Tom Chittum, Civil War II. And I went ahead and read it when it first came out. And I often wonder, well, how come Tom Chittum didn't talk about, biological warfare? Now, what Tom Chittum went ahead and wrote does have a good deal of relevancy. But it's going to be even worse what Tom Chittum says. One of my readers went ahead and wrote to me. He said, "So, Martin, I know these types of questions are suspicious, but I don't know any other way to learn except to ask questions. And I already told you I am not FBI or any law enforcement employee. I'm just wondering, as the day grows closer and closer, how does a Civil War resistance group organize? I know we have militias in most states, but are they the real things? When trouble starts and the bullets are flying, how do I know to grab my rifle and go, and where does one go? Thanks." Okay, I'm not going to go ahead and give a name. I think this person knows who he was, and he's a listener to the Movement Turd. He was asking me a Movement Turd question. Okay, folks, my participation in the movement came about in 1993 when, like a number of other people, I went ahead and helped form a militia, then later another one, in this area because of my problems with what happened at Waco. And in 1994, that's when a number of these militias were started. Now, like I went ahead and told this guy who was talking about militia zombies or something like that, the initial militias, at least in Missouri, were usually from 6 to 12 men or less, white men. And in most cases, the militia was arranged around a clan or Christian identity cadre. Now, this one militia that I was in, the 24th one out of Springfield, because Missouri was a 24th state. It was essentially two one-seed liners, me and this other guy, and a dual-seed liner who used to be a Marine Corps drill sergeant. And what we did is that we formed our own militia. And this was an open public militia. But the first militias in Missouri were racist militias. Essentially what boiled down to is were people who were related to each other, who were family. And when later on with another guy tried to form one in Carthage, we had one of these survivalists simply say, "Why should we do this? Why should we go ahead and become public? Why should we do any such thing like this here at all?" And 2 days after Oklahoma City, on the 21st of April, I sort of seen some of these survivalist groups come in, you know, to this guy, old guy's house. I'd just gotten out of jail. No, I was in jail. I was waiting to go ahead and fight over this burnt out headlight.
essentially they said, well, so-and-so, Martin, we're not going to go ahead and join your militia because essentially they're demonizing this Michigan militia because it's associated with this guy named Timothy Vervais, and this Decker, you know, Michigan militia is associated. We don't want to go ahead and have anything more to do with it, so they left here. And two-thirds of the ones who are going to go ahead and become open public militias decide, no, they didn't want to go above ground. So, what was most of these militias? Well, later on, you'd end up having people like the Missouri 51st, and I sort of hung around that here and helped them out. Then this Missouri, in March of 1995, went up there, and oh, they were so proud they had chosen a female as their second command because she was a Jewess. Well, do you have any other reason? Well, yes, I'm Jewish. You have all sorts of people I'd never seen at the 24th, and they showed up paying $65 for fatigue uniforms in some shade of gray to go ahead and dress as a captain and a first lieutenant. And they didn't even have a SKS here back in the days when they only cost about $65. $65 spent on a uniform, 1995 money, and nothing spent on SKS, even. Why is that? So what you had is you had all these people who went ahead and joined and thinking that they could go ahead and solve the world's problems. Okay? Well, what ended up happening is that with this constitutional militia, you'd end up having people like Red Mike Vanderbo, or as I call him, Red Mike Vanderkike. You had people like John Parsons, his good buddy, working for the Southern Poverty Law Center, reporting it just like Red Mike Vanderkike does, and also, well, admittedly, getting, what, $1,776 a month from the FBI to go ahead and be part of the Tri-State Militia. You had a lot of this crap going on. You really did. All these militia matchboys wanted to go ahead and pretend to be something that they were not. Okay. What's the end result of that? And the answer is that, well, you had a bunch of these people, and they would, just like Alan Truett, become director of security. Security director. Just like Tom Metzger said, he's never been in prison, never been in trouble, because he's never had a director of security. He's always been his own security. Because back in the militia movement, just like today with Mo Gullet, you have Alan, you know, Anglo Mestizo Truett, being the director of, you know, security. And essentially what he does, he makes sure the security is turned off, and he makes sure the Zog boss get in, you know, starting with him. Rick Spring was Pastor Richard Butler's last director of security. And essentially, here he is taking all these application memberships here and selling them to the Southern Poverty Center and the One Niggers Projects. Folks, You had these Zogbots get in until 1999 when they were frantic to go ahead and find out. You know, in the summer of 1999, they were so frantic to find out what happened to all these Christian identity maniacs. What happened to these Klan and racist maniacs you kicked out for extremism? And you had these, well, suburban Whigger militias like the Missouri 51st. And the Michigan militia and known informants going ahead and doing their best to tell on them. That's how I went ahead and found, you know, Holy War Yahoo groups. I was invited probably by an FBI, you know, a little Zogbot or a little somewhat snitch here to go ahead and join this group here. Then here comes Andy Anderson, and then comes Clint Downey and the rest of them here. Harold Covington was mentioning the same thing here, is that, shoot, you want to get on Harold Covington's shit list? You go ahead and show up with somebody who has not been vetted, or at least has never been found out by Harold Covington, because guess what? That's exactly how you get informants in. Folks, that's how we got two Missouri Highway Patrolmen, or at least one of them. This one who claimed to be named P.J. Payne, who showed up on the Saturday. I think it was April 23rd. Well, I forget where it was. It was April 21st. He showed up. Yeah, 20. I think it was the 23rd or so of April. I forget which. Went back in 1995. But he showed up the Saturday after April 19th. He showed up. What? I think it was the 23rd. Showed up, and from what I gather, it was this one character named Judas Knapp who went in and introduced him. Brought him in. Folks, you end up having Zogbots introduce, you know, for other Zogbots. And once you get them in, you're screwed. Now, what happened to the militia movement? Well, answer, most of it went underground. I went ahead and just simply said, hey, look, I believe we ought to just go ahead and take this thing back underground. Stop having any meetings. This was back in 1997, when essentially these two Missouri highway patrolmen went ahead, didn't really, you know, they went ahead and rolled up a few militias. They got into a high position. One was president of the Missouri militias. The other was the director of security for this one, which had split off from the 24th, and also from the Carthage one. And folks found a few tars who practiced creative gunsmithing here. Got them in trouble. Mainly got in trouble a whole bunch of old tars here from the Missouri Common Law Court. And that's where you had the Missouri 20th and the rest here. Folks, you know, Harold Covington is right. How you end up getting informants is you go ahead and you allow somebody who you sort of know to bring in these characters here. And that's exactly how I know that one Missouri Highway Patrolman got in to the Missouri Militia. Somebody went ahead, and I think I know who brought him in. Sure enough, they were Missouri Highway Patrolmen. And that's about as professional, you know, snitch operation I ever seen here. Okay, now you didn't have for 10 years from 2000, when they were going ahead and jailing the people that they caught in 1999, the very last hurrah of the militia movement, to 2010, their Huttery Militia in March. For a decade, you didn't have any militia convictions. Answer, why is that? Well, the answer is that pretty well all these old militia men and young ones went underground. Now, you have a lot of militias, and I went ahead and talked about a year or so ago to one guy who used to be in the old militias of the 90s, and he said, yeah, there's a lot of them. Well, how do you get in them? And the answer is you don't get in them. What are they? And the answer is what they are private organizations just like showed up in 1993 and 1994 to where essentially you don't get in unless you're related or long-term friend. There's no such thing as setting up, you know, if you have so-called constitutional militia, there's no such thing as a constitutional militia. That's why you had Patrick Henry waving for about a third of the minutes of the Eliot's debate, book three, bitching mainly, George Mason, same thing, bitching that the federal constipation did away in Article 1, Section 8, paragraph 16, I believe. It went ahead and took the militias out of the hands of the people and the states and put them in the hands of the federal government. Most of these regiments of the Civil War were, quote, militia organizations, especially in the South. Were they going to go ahead and raise a militia which would go ahead and fight against the federal government? Well, that's the way they looked at, you know, during, you know, when you end up having groups like, what, the 3rd Mississippi Regiment? All these companies from the counties? Rebelling against the wonderful Zog? You had that? The constipation did away with essentially the people's army, i.e., the militia. Because, well, they didn't know the political views of the militia. Would it support Zog Babylon? And the answer is, well, no. So, folks, why would you want to go ahead and join an organization which essentially you don't know anything about? Now, does that mean that you don't join the militia? No, it means what you do is that every one of you who are Christian identity or whatever, what you do is you go ahead and you find, just like in your congregation, your little small one and two and three man churches, you go ahead and you understand is that each one has to go ahead and defend his brother against nigger incursion, against beaner incursion, against dog incursion. Essentially, we are breaking up. Zog is breaking up, and they're breaking up not in terms of states or even in terms of counties. It is pretty well, unless you want to be one man for yourself, it is pretty well every family and every extended family for himself. So by all means, what you do is that you, and this is what I've said, folks, don't join an above-ground militia. Don't join things where you don't know who these people are and you have a director of security who's probably a Jew or whatever, a federal informant. So are these militias, are these little groupings the real thing? And the answer is yes, because they, you know, a lot of people are seeing, pretty well everyone in this country realizes that things are falling apart, and they're falling apart very badly. So what to do? What to do? Are they the real things? Well, folks, you better go ahead and form your own little militia. But, folks, don't put it up on the web page. Don't go ahead and talk about it on email. Don't talk about it over the telephone. What you do is that you understand is that, hey, you end up having a little group just like in 1994 to where, essentially, these were people who were family members. These were people who knew each other long time. And you wouldn't get anybody in there. You wouldn't be able to infiltrate anything. What they did is that they they didn't even rise above. All they did was think a little bit, well, maybe we can go ahead and change things. And that's the way people thought back in 1994 after Waco. After Ruby Ridge, we can go ahead and make the government behave. Well, folks, that was a dead dream. That was stupidity. All these people who came to me and this other guy and said, Mark, we're not going to go above ground. Well, folks, they were right and I was wrong. And so I went ahead and wrote, I went ahead and started the internet newsletter or gazette here called Modern Militiamen, and took what I knew about the above ground militias and wrote about them. Okay? So, when the trouble starts and the bullets are flying, how do I know how to grab my rifle and go? And where does one go? And the answer is you go to defend your brother and your friend who you know. Don't worry about saving Zog. Zog should die. That's the last thing you should worry about. What you do is you worry about, it's time to go ahead. In fact, it's past time to go ahead and talk to your friend in your area. Talk to your relative that you can trust in your area. And that's what Harold Covington wants to do. He wants to go ahead and set up a community. He wants to set up a community of like-minded white nationalists. Harold Covington probably said the same thing here. Now, I think he's talking about an NVA army here. Well, that might very well be, I tend to doubt it, but hey, I'm not going to go ahead and poo-poo it here. But folks, what you do need to do is you need to go ahead and work with somebody you can trust here to go ahead and guard your back. Hell, I mean, nutcases in the nut house here. Pretty well, we had about three of us, in the nut house, three white guys, and essentially what we did is that we had a little coffee club, and I usually provide the coffee. They did like my coffee, but essentially what boiled down to is we'd sit together and table and play cards, usually spades or something like that. We played cards or hearts or something like that. Well, usually spades. Hearts was a little bit more difficult. And essentially, just keep an eye out, for sneaking niggers sneaking up on us here. So if nothing in that house, can go ahead and form a mutual aid or a mutual white society. White people on the outside should be able to go ahead and form a mutual white society. And folks, that's the first, that's the second thing I recommend. It's between items number 2 and 3 of the 10,000 Warlords program. First thing you do is you get in right with Yahweh. Second thing you do is you go ahead and you take care of yourself and your family. Third thing you do is you go ahead and save your community. So essentially, joining a militia or finding your own militia here. And folks, this is not a militia of essentially a political group to go ahead and change things in the county, much less the state, and certainly not the federal government. Zog needs to die. Most of these state runs are just crooks here. Your sheriff is a crook, chances are. What you're trying to do is trying to go ahead and save your own life. Save your friend's life. Save your family's life. Who better than you to know which members of your family are worthless pieces of shit and which of your friends are just simply not friends, but rather acquaintances. Okay? So, anyway, it looks like somebody's going ahead and, taking a break here. I forget that some of these people here are from, what happens is it's only 8:57 out in California way, out in Pacific time way. So essentially they're just ready to get up and I'm sort of getting tired. Okay? But in any case, I sort of hope that I went ahead and answered your question on what you can do for yourself as far as a militia is concerned. What you do for yourself as far as a militia is concerned is that, oh, by all means. But folks, it's sort of like joining Fight Club. Number one rule is we do not talk about Fight Club. Well, folks, same way with having a militia. We do not talk about militia. We do not talk about militia. Number one rule, we do not talk about militia. Number two rule, we do not talk about militia. Number three, we do not talk about militia. Okay? You don't talk about what you're doing. All you're doing, folks, is that for now, go ahead, now in the case of Northwest here, he has some of his Covington friends here, but folks, I have a little bit of doubt about somebody goes ahead and lets old Steve Elder, a.k.a. McFag, who essentially is a delusional Jew with Crohn's disease or Jew Ascades in. I mean, I would sort of stay out of the radar or stay away from McFag or whatever. Just pretty well, just have nothing to do with him, if at all possible. He's not your buddy. Not your buddy. He's a big old, he's Brian Reel's buddy. He's Dan John's brother. He's your buddy. He's Legal Man's buddy. He's not your buddy. But, I mean, it's not illegal to be in the Northwest front or whatever. But what I do urge anybody is go ahead and do be sociable, do make friends. But folks, if you can't be with the one you love, well, love the one you're with. Well, here, you make sure that the person you're with is trustworthy. And if they're not, well, what are you going to do about it? Well,
when you are, you know, I mean, this old resistance figure, Jim Floyd, said there's a quality called discernment. He says, I would describe discernment as knowing whom to trust to carry your canteen of water for you across the desert. How far can you trust him? Will he go ahead and drink your canteen of water? Put a bullet in your head? You've got to learn some discernment. If you don't know discernment, being able to discern good from evil or good from evil people, you're not going to make it. Over on Beer Barrel, I had a number of these little, you know, little tards call me a child molester here. Same old one. And essentially, you got to understand is that shit, the critters are mamsers. The critters are shitskins, and they're pretending to be good white men, and they're not. They're shitskins. So since you have shitskins, how are they going to go ahead and act any different than some other shitskins? They're going to go ahead and turn on you because they are what they are. And no matter how much you put into them, you're never going to get back anything out except treachery. There's a reason why. There's a good reason why Yahweh says you don't bring these mamzers and you don't allow these Jews into the congregation. They'll go ahead, you know, and destroy you as best they can. They will go ahead and destroy anything of the next generation, the rest of the generations, once they get into your gene pool. These people are evil. And the reason they're evil is because that is their nature. And running around, pretty well acting like contrary to what you've been taught, what you're supposed to understand, means that, well, you're stupid or delusional or there's something wrong with you. So, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take another break. And I'm not sure if there'll be another section. There might be. So, folks, let's just go ahead and hold on and hail victory. Weasel, an ass clown just barely sneezing. Quickus, we can rebuild it. We have the Order Zogbox. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic ass clown. Alex Linder will be that bionic ass clown. Dumber than it was before. Anal. Vulgar. Ass clown. Okay, folks, this is going to be the last segment of the movement tour. There really is not too much happening in the bowel movement. On Eli James's and the rest here, and tomorrow Eli James will be on, and I will twit McFag about his Jew ass cancer, about his Crohn's. I'll go ahead and bring up what this one guy, Bradshaw, has said. And you got to understand is that Bill Fink is as guilty or guiltier than Eli James of bringing in a manzer, Brian Real. But folks, they're Jews. To go ahead and say that a Jew is guilty of bringing in a manzer,
It's sort of like accusing a dog of bringing in a cat. I mean, you know, just being a Jew is bad enough here. Bringing in a Mamzer, what the heck else are you supposed to do here? Why are you so surprised when Jews go ahead and bring in Mamzers and the Mamzers go ahead and take down web pages or they do whatever Jews and Mamzers do? Now, right now, it's just pretty well the same old stupid crap that's going on in the movement. What you have is that you had Harold Covington talk about Occupy Wall Street. And essentially, what you have is, well, like Ford Mamzer did say, is that essentially you have a whole bunch of Mamzers whining that the Whiggers are not able to go ahead and keep them up. Now, here in the Zogland, essentially the whites are not allowed to go ahead and do anything. Essentially, we are to go ahead and be used as slaves and be used up, just like Harold Covington said, like a bunch of cattle. Anyway, I want to go ahead and talk a little bit about what's going on in the rest of the world. Like, well, the death of Muammar Gaddafi. Folks, this guy was dictator for 40-some years. And from what I gather, he went ahead and, unlike a lot of people, unlike a lot of dictators, you had a little bit more freedom under this dictator than you did the other Arab dictators. And so what they've done is that they've engaged in a little bit of tribal civil war, and now Libya is well on its way to being from a dictatorship to a failed state. Now, folks, how many failed states do we have? And the answer is we have quite a few of them. Pretty well, for all the fighting that we've done in Iraq, all we've done is just strengthen Iran, which we're trying to go ahead and destabilize. What was it? Last week, we were trying to make up a bogus assassination attempt here by the Iranians or somebody with the Iranians to a used car salesman or something here to kill somebody else. The Saudi ambassador, essentially nobody believed this lie of Zog's. So essentially it's on the back burner because nobody believes Zog lies anymore. Well, now you end up having Gaddafi. Alright, fine. You killed the dictator. Who are you going to replace him with? Now, there's this Jew named Martin Van Creveld who wrote this number of books here, called The Transformation of War. But the one that I thought the most highly of was his 1994 book, The Rise and Fall of the State. When he goes ahead and points out that most of these states that we have, most of these regimes we have, are the benefits of the Treaty of Westphalia, which ended the 30 Years War. To where we had a change from kings to parliamentary, well, monarchies, constitutional monarchies, what have you. We had a number of changes. We had a number of revolutions. And so the state became all-powerful probably after 1945 to when you had states, some states like the United States, Russia, France, you had states instead of essentially groups going ahead and fighting here. William Lind, who I respect even more, talk about fourth generation warfare, he's talking about the breakup of the states and these failed states to where essentially it's boiled down to. Tom Chittum, Civil War II, was not talking about the Clausewitzian means of war. They're talking, the theory of war, to where war is a continuation of politics by other means. It's organized violence for a purpose. He was talking about bongo parties, i.e. just simply niggers and muds fighting for no other reason than because they like to fight and kill.
And that's what you've had now with Muammar Gaddafi. You have gone ahead and broken up a big old state in northern Africa which had some oil. And essentially you have the tribes of eastern Libya versus western Libya, which was Muammar Gaddafi, and southern Libya, which was the deserts. And all of them are divided up into tribes. So now what you have, and I was listening to some of it, they're all fighting over who did the most to get rid of Muammar Gaddafi, and they're saying they all have power, they all have power, they all have power over somebody else here. Nowadays in Zogland, what you have is you have competing Whiggers, Republican Whiggers, pretend to represent whites and actually living off them, corporate Whiggers who love the Jews, and you have Democrat Whiggers who are essentially trying to out-Whigger in order to go ahead and keep their jobs or something like that here. What you have is that you have all across the world, you end up having more and more and more breakdown, more and more and more failed states here. Somebody was talking about how the niggers are getting a little bit tired of Wobongo. Folks are, you know, they're getting tired of Wobongo because guess what? When essentially you don't have jobs here, it's not only white males who are going ahead not being hired. It's niggers. What good are niggers for any practical purpose? The answer is none. So what you have is you have more and more chaos in the world. And at least under Muammar Gaddafi, he may have been goofy, he may have been violent, but essentially he was order. He was stability. And now what Zog and the Jews are doing is they're creating more and more and more chaos, acting as if that's a good thing for democracy. Well, folks, I remember when in 2006 Hamas, the Palestinians went ahead and voted in democracy. They voted in Hamas. And guess what? George Bush did not like that one bit. That the mighty evil empire has supported all these dictators. Not really supported. Not really supported. You know, democracy, because when democracy comes, I mean, if it's one man, one vote, everybody votes against supporting Jews. Egypt, like I was saying, is that when Egypt gets done, are they going to have any more stable or any more well-run organization under getting rid of Hosni Mubarak? And the answer is no, even though he's just a Jew tool, a Zog tool. Now you got ahead and got rid of Gaddafi. Now they're looking forward to getting rid of Assad. And someone also pointed out as a shoot, what happened to Gaddafi is that he was killed. So what happens when you go ahead and you give up power? Well, in the Arab world, it's winner take all. And if you end up losing power, you end up losing your life too. Well, that's not fun. So, I guess number 16 showed up. Oh, Gaddafi's a Jew, whatever. Well, that's silliness. You know, he's some sort of mamzer. Doesn't really matter. Anyway, folks, what you have is you have fewer and fewer and fewer white men running things. They're not running things at all. They're not able to anymore. And what you have is you have more and more and more chaos. You have more and more tyranny pretending that it means something when it doesn't. And it doesn't. Not at all. So what to do about it? And the answer is there's nothing you can do about it. Essentially, Zog will do whatever Zog wants to do. And to go ahead and expect any difference here is a fool's errand. So folks, where do you find stability? The answer is you find stability with Yahweh. You find stability with your friends and your family that you can trust. And folks, be careful with who you trust. Folks, it's every man for himself, pretty much, unless you go ahead and find people who, you know, mean the same thing here. In this movement here, someone like April Gady, April is just simply a one, you know, is just simply just a wandering cunt who's out for nothing there in himself here. Where you're Swill Hatting the rest of them here? You know, that's why I don't have a problem with Harold Covington, because, hey, at least he represents some sort of stability. He is working towards some sort of goal. You know, and he was talking about this one guy in the show. Well, I'm going to chew on your ass. I want you to get rid of X and Sally. And then he said, well, I'm not going to do that. So why are you here? And the guy said, well, it's the only game in town. Well, so in short, Harold called his bluff, and he had to admit that, you know, hey, it's the only game in town for him. Or for anybody else. Okay. Now, what I say is that, you know, is my version of Christian identity the only game in town? Well, and the answer is no. Folks, I'm not trying to go ahead and lead anybody. I'm just simply pointing out that what is going to end up happening is this great tribulation. And folks, it's going to go ahead and affect every single one of us. We cannot go ahead and draw a little magic circle. And while people are starving to death, while people are killing themselves and being killed, we can't go ahead and say, this will not affect us at all. We won't even see this. We won't even hear anything about it. Because even the ancient Israelites had to go ahead and undergo four. At least the first four, I believe, of the 10 plagues of Egypt. And if they hadn't obeyed and put the blood of the lamb upon their lintel post, they too would have had their firstborn die, just like the Egyptians did. They had to have a plan. And things were falling apart among them here, just like it was. Folks, if there was no ability to essentially be above it all 3,300 some years ago, what makes you think that it's going to be above it all in the soon onrushing future? And the answer is you won't. What you need to do, you know, the three programs of 10,000 warlords is first, take, you know, get right with Yahweh, second, take care of your family, and third, you know who the evil people are, you know who the people are who need to be destroyed in your community. When the time comes, and comes time to overthrow the oligarchy of the base, then it's time to go ahead, and the time is right. Most of the Uyghurs are dead, most, you know, all the Manzers and Beaners are dead. It's time for you to go ahead and rise up upon Christ's return and set things right. Just like Joel chapter 2, you know, troops all great and mighty strong, they have never been the like. And then the eternal thunders and the sun and moon become both black. Folks, I'm asking you to be the Christian warriors, but I'm asking you first to go ahead and make sure that everything is right in your home and in your family. And to go ahead, because I know how tough it is. I keep on hearing stories about how their children go to school and their children are pretty well taught to talk back to mommy and daddy. And I realize how hard it is. I've had my own family destroyed. So folks, what you do is that you look and you watch and you pray and you be accounted worthy of escape here. This, you know, what I'm talking to you is, don't be a wandering CI Mamzer. Well, folks, if you're a Mamzer, I mean, heck, you do whatever you want here. I'm not talking to you. But folks, don't be a wandering Mamzer doing stupid crap. Don't think you can go ahead and beg Zog and petition the courts or anything like that, because, hey, folks, it's not working for me. And, hey, I have, what, 8 or 9 of these federal lawsuits under my belt. Essentially, there's no peaceful solution to it here. And like I was telling to the person who went ahead and asked about the militia, don't join a militia to where that says it's a militia that you don't know who these people are. What you do is that in many cases, the best thing to do is to mind your own business and let whatever happens, happens. Because in many cases, you know, I mean, folks, you're not seeking worldly power. You're seeking that when this world ends here, that you will be alive and be in position to go ahead and receive that which you have come in from Jesus Christ. Folks, I think that's just about it for the night. I'm going to go ahead and say Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night. Do they need to go in some sort of heated, insulated area? I'm not quite sure a heated, insulated area, your heated, insulated area should be essentially one that you provide for yourself and your family. Okay? The Jew world order is going down. What you see, like with Gaddafi and the rest here, is you see nothing but chaos. That's all there is. Well, no, Gaddafi wasn't one of the good guys, but he was a force for stability in Libya. How does anybody know what is going to be replacing Gaddafi in Libya? It's sort of like when Somalia fell apart 20 years ago. There's not been any government in Somalia except for a short time, these Islamic councils, which we in turn went ahead and destroyed because, well, essentially, they supported, well, what we call radical Islam. They supported Al-Qaeda, supposedly we said. Folks, we have been destroying stable governments as best we can since we got rid of Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein was a stable governor, as stable as Iraq would ever have. Brutal and a tyrant here. Gaddafi, he was as stable as, you know, Libya ever got. Brutal, a tyrant, murderer of his own people, a dictator. Yep, he was. So what have we done? We've gone ahead and restored order under a tyrant with chaos under what? In any case, do you need to go in some sort of heated, insulated area? I'm not quite sure here. Generally, you make sure who you know who you're with here. You know best here who your friends and your family you can trust are. Folks, by all means, you need to go ahead and talk to some grown-up people who essentially have a family and essentially work together. I mean, folks, if you know some farmers who are having trouble with Mexicans or something like that here, essentially help those farmers out here and essentially have a place where you can ford up when things turn bad. Nobody can stay awake 24 hours. You need somebody to go ahead and guard your back. And people can figure that out in Nuthouse, well, you should too here. Okay? Two lamps and a 10 by 10 coop should do it? Okay. Anyway, folks, I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I hope I went ahead and answered the email question, which people have gone ahead and sent. And, folks, I need to go ahead and check the movement turd, at gmail.com. I haven't done that for a while, but I do check PastorLinstead@gmail.com all the time. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I'm going to say Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night. Thank you.
Howie, hi-yi-oh, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi-yi-oh. Why they go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. Why they go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. When Adam, Dilden, Edith, and Kyrieleis, all who was there, the ruling man, Kyrieleis. Why they go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. Why they go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. For white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On sogling necks we stomp our boots to stamp out Gasco. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. The regime must only love his greed, hi-yi-oh-ho. The love of God our only need, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause's right, hi-yi-oh-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow.